And now for something completely different. Welcome to the Inglorious Geek Podcast. I am your host, Jason Barton. And tonight, I have with me my co-hosts...
April Mitchell.
And Chris Scott. You can find me on Twitter as RD Nottingham.
And I am Celtic Hoovian.
And I am Captain Oblivious. I don't know. I'll get back to you later on
You're
that.
You're total oblivion on...
Shh, no, don't tell him that! Okay, I'm total
times.
Oblivious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm total oblivion. On Twitard. So, and I think I'm on... No, did I change my Facebook?
I don't know.
I'm on Facebook, but you gotta find me by my first, middle name, and last name. So just message me, and I will find you.
Yeah, I'm more Twitterish, anywho. Yeah. That's why we're trying something completely different. Yeah. And this is episode 17, Jason?
Yeah, it is! We've made it 17 episodes.
Which means we're legal to be married in some states.
Yeah! As well as, if we make it 17 episodes, apparently this is the break point in which whether or not we're going to continue making episodes.
Fuck it, I'm done. I quit. Later.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm done.
500 years ago, if you weren't married by 17, you were an old maid.
Yeah, I do believe that.
They were having multiple kids by the age of 17.
So you mean like some Medicaid families around
yeah,
there?
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyhow, so today is October the 16th?
Yes, mm-hmm. The 16th.
Oh my god, 2 weeks and a day till April's favorite holiday.
It's tied with Christmas.
Okay. Tied for favorite holiday.
Says so on my Facebook, because I updated my Facebook.
Yeah, you can't renege on Facebook.
No.
Jason, what do we got on the agenda tonight, sir?
Okay, so up first, we're going to have some famous birthdays for you peeps.
Woohoo! Birthdays in the house.
You know what? After,
I thought it was hizzy.
I think after that, I'm going to follow up with some games. What do we got after that?
Oh, yeah, we're going to be talking about some Chris talk.
Yep, with games. Lots of games.
Lots of games, and then World of Warcraft.
Oh, I hear some. There's some good Warcraft.
Oh, there is.
I decided to go on a date with my work friend and see Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. I will tell you just how peculiar it was with some information from Mr. Chris as well.
What? Did I go see? Oh, yeah, I did go see that movie.
Yeah. And we'll throw in a little bit of a science-y things from my corner this week's...
I will have to throw something science fun that I saw on Facebook, so yeah.
All right.
Yeah, me too.
And then we'll follow that with some geeky talk about some Halloween costumes.
This week is all about April's top five favorite geeky Halloween costumes. I might rant about some other ones as well, but we'll see.
We'll get to that when it comes.
Yeah. And then we'll also keep on ranting as a group about podcasts, our favorite podcasts, or possible ones that we might be interested in.
What, we're going to just rant about ourselves for 10 minutes?
Yep, we're going to talk about ourselves because only the best podcast.
All right, April, why don't you start it off?
All right. If you don't mind me sitting back in my chair, I ate too much dinner.
Tonight's podcast brought to you by a big old roast in the crock pot.
Roast. Anyways.
It was delicious.
Roast and okra. Okay, so today for our birthdays, we're going to be very Irish about it to start. With my two from today are both from Ireland.
Sweet.
First one is a gentleman by the name of Michael Collins. He was born on this day in 1890 in Sam's Cross, County Cork, Ireland. He died August 22nd, 1922. He was a soldier and a politician for Ireland. He was a leading figure in the struggle for Irish independence in the early 20th century. Yeah, early 20th century is when they were free. He was an Irish revolutionary leader. He was a lever. Politician. He was a minister for finance. A director of information, you know, because you always have to have a director of someone with all the information. And I am going to butcher this Gaelic word. And a Teachta Dála for Cork South in the first Dáil of 1919. So, for all you Gaelic fans, don't judge.
Not to mention the fact that April's accent goes from Midwest to Irish anytime she starts talking about
it. And I can have a little brief Minnesota in me, too.
Yeah.
An adjutant general, director of intelligence, because apparently you have to have intelligence to have all the information.
Well, you know the old oxymoron, military intelligence.
And he was the director of organization and arms procurement for the IRA.
No.
Hence why he was an Irish revolutionary.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. He was president of the Irish Republican Brotherhood from November 1920 until his death, and a member of the Irish delegation during the Anglo-Irish Treaty negotiations. Subsequently, he was both chairman of the Provisional Government and commander-in-chief of the National Army.
Oh, boy.
And he was shot and killed in an ambush on August 1922 during the Irish Civil War.
Mm.
So we salute you, Michael Collins.
I'm sorry. You know, don't get me wrong. I love Ireland and all that, but Irish Civil War, I just can't picture it. I mean, I get it. I mean, I've seen Klingon Civil Wars, too, so, you know, that I get. But Irish?
Why? What do you picture when you picture Irish Civil War?
Throwing potatoes at each other?
And we're making fun of my people here.
This moment of the podcast brought to you by racism. By flying potatoes.
Or a famine.
Who else you got today for a birthday?
Oscar Wilde.
Oh, damn.
Also known as Oscar Fingal O'Flaherty Wills Wilde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yark.
He was born in 1854 in Dublin, Ireland.
Really? 1854?
Mm-hmm. And he died November 30th, 1900.
Hmm.
He was 46.
Oh. What did he do?
He was an Irish playwright, a novelist, an essayist, and a poet. Boy, he sounds exciting.
He
lost me at essayist. He was cute from the pictures I've seen.
Okay.
But, you know, he wrote in different forms throughout the 1880s.
Yeah.
So he became one of London's most popular playwrights in the early 1890s.
I mean, I think a lot of people have heard of Oscar Wilde.
Oh, he wrote The Picture of Dorian Gray.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite classics of all time. Because while his masterpiece, The Importance of Being Earnest, yes, that was his.
That's it.
Was still on stage in London.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Marquess of Queensberry prosecuted for libel. Which, you know, that's the guy, Marquess. The Marquess was the father of Wilde's lover, Lord Alfred Douglas. Yes, he swung that way.
Damn.
The charge carried a penalty of up to 2 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
The trial unearthed evidence that caused Wilde to drop his charges and led to his own arrest and trial for gross indecency with men.
Damn.
After two more trials after that, he was convicted and imprisoned for 2 years hard labor.
Mm-hmm.
Upon his release, he said, screw this, ran from Ireland, went to France, never returned to Ireland or Britain.
Mm-hmm.
He died destitute in Paris, November 30th, 1900.
Hey, you know, I could find a lot worse places to die than Paris.
I could find a lot better places to die than Paris.
Yeah. That whole gross indecency thing reminds me of the whole Alan Turing thing with, you know, what Britain was doing back then, the British law, where if, you know, there was anything about, homosexuality or anything like that.
The whole movie Quills is about the Marquis de Sade writing his erotica from the insane asylum that his wife put him in for writing erotica.
I did not know that. I'll have to check that one.
Has Geoffrey Rush in it.
Oh, Geoffrey Rush.
Geoffrey Rush and Kate Winslet.
Ah, I will have to check that one out.
Oh, and Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix.
Phoenix, probably. Yeah. Alright, so this Monday.
October 17th.
Ooh.
We've got two. The first one is a lovely gem of a lady by the name of Irene Ryan.
Hmm?
She was born October 17th, 1902,
mm-hmm.
and died April 26th, 1973. She was an American actress who found success in vaudeville. I love vaudeville.
Mm-hmm.
Radio, film, television, and Broadway.
Okay.
Most widely known for her portrayal of Granny the mother-in-law of Buddy Epson's character on the long-running series The Beverly Hillbillies.
Okay, that's who that is.
For which she was nominated for Emmy Awards for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy Series in 1963 and 1964.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was looking at pictures of her from when she was young.
Mm-hmm.
She was pretty. I mean, she was really pretty. I mean, I'm not saying that elderly people aren't good looking, but you know what I mean. She was a knockout.
Well, yeah, Susan, she'll say she's scared of elderly people, Beth. But I digress.
The other one was Arthur Miller.
Hmm.
He was born October 17th, 1915, and died February 10th. That doesn't seem right.
Is it Arthur Miller?
Yeah.
Okay, you finish the description, I'll verify.
Verify the year, because I'm pretty certain I typed that way wrong.
Gotcha.
He was an American playwright, essayist, and figure in 20th century American theater. Among his most popular plays are All My Sons, Death of a Salesman,
mm-hmm.
The Crucible, my favorite, and A View from the Bridge. He also wrote screenplays and was most noted for his work on The Misfits in 1961. The drama Death of a Salesman has been numbered on the short list of finest American plays in the 20th century,
mm-hmm.
alongside Long Day's Journey Into Night and A Streetcar Named Desire. Okay. What year did he die?
2005, February 10th.
See, that just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, although here's the funny thing, looking at his little write-up on Wikipedia, which, personal opinion, Wikipedia is great if you're looking up pop culture references. Mr. Miller was an alma mater of yours and my favorite college, the University of Michigan.
Sweet. Why didn't I see that? I use Wikipedia.
He was a past spouse of Marilyn Monroe.
Huh, that I could see.
And he is... Daniel Day-Lewis, the actor, is his son-in-law.
That's kind of creepy.
That's kind
of... No, you know what makes that really creepy?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Day-Lewis was in the movie The Crucible.
Ooh, there you go.
I think he was John Proctor.
There you go.
One of the girls that would accuse all the witches, Abigail, I can't think of her last name, but played by Winona Ryder, was in love with him. They actually had a brief affair. Then he decided he wanted to work things out with his wife, and I want to say she was put by Joan Allen.
Hmm.
I think. Don't quote me. It's pretty much The Crucible. But it is so good to see that version with Daniel Day-Lewis, because he's so pretty as a colonial man. I think he did that not long after he did Last Mohicans.
Yeah, that was 96 that he did that. November 96, and... Abigail Williams.
Thank you. I always want to say Adams, but I know it's Williams. Okay, so that was
Monday.
That was tomorrow.
Yep, tomorrow the 17th, 18th.
Tuesday the 18th. Let me see what my options are here. Okay, we'll go with this guy first. So everybody, the whole universe was in a hot damn state.
Ooh.
Who decided to make that a hit?
Oh!
Mr. Chuck Lorre.
Damn! Chuck fucking Lorre.
He was born October 18th, 1952.
Wow.
He is an American...
Wait, he's only a year younger than my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Cool.
He is an American television writer, producer, and composer. He has created a number of successful sitcoms, other than just Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, just a few.
Grace Under Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Sybil. Dharma and Greg, Two and a Half Men, and Mom. I've watched every single one of those shows.
There you go. Guy helps create quality products.
And I'm not kidding when I said I've seen every one of the shows, because he also served as an executive producer for Roseanne and Mike and Molly. Watch those too.
Mm-hmm.
The man is amazing.
He is. He really is. And he will defend his work. I mean... You know, he will defend all of his work.
Yeah, because I was reading some article.
Mm-hmm.
The pilot for The Big Bang Theory was completely different. Even the theme song was different.
Oh, I believe it.
I don't know if he had a hand in changing it or what, but it probably wouldn't have been as big. I was reading it. Probably wouldn't have been as big of a hit as it was. They'd have kept it the way it was.
Yeah.
Like, I guess Leonard wore suits.
Oh, no.
Sheldon was sexually active. And I'm trying to think of what the theme song was. It was nothing even remotely close to Bare Naked Ladies. But, oh, my God. I'm like, really? Thank God.
Although, I got to say on a side note, this season compared to last season, it is starting off so much better than last season. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know last season Penny and Howard or Leonard got married and all that. But it was slow until, like, episode 6 or 7 last season. This one, at least, is starting off with good ones. I mean, we're cracking up on nights. Hey, Monday, tomorrow. More Big Bang.
Uh-huh. Can I think tomorrow night's the last
Monday? Yeah. Then it's Tuesday, isn't it?
Then Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
Fuck you, National Football League.
The other important October 18th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Born 1935.
Joe Mama. No.
Peter Boyle.
Ooh.
One of my favorites. He died December 12th, 2006. I knew it was in the last 10 years or so because I still am like, can't believe he's gone.
Yeah.
It hit me the day he died. He was an American actor, best known for his role as Frank Barone on the sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy that show.
Yeah.
And as a comical monster in Mel Brooks' film spoof, Young Frankenstein, in 1974.
74. I was not even a gleam in my parents' eyes.
Neither. My parents weren't even dating, I don't think.
Ooh, hubba hubba.
He also played Jocko Dundee in Johnny Dangerously. And, of course, I don't remember seeing him, but apparently he was in Honeymoon in Vegas. Never saw it, so I wouldn't have seen him in Malcolm X. I want to watch the Santa Claus, because apparently he was in that one. And then the second and third Santa Claus, he was Father Time.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was.
One of my favorite movies that he is in is called While You Were Sleeping.
Oh, with Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock and Bill Pullman. And yes. Good movie. He was in Dr. Dolittle.
Mm-hmm.
Monsters Ball. The Adventures of Pluto Nash. Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed. Oh, I bet that was a real waste of time.
More or less.
And that's just to name a few, because he's been at it for a long time.
Oh, yeah, he was.
He is one of my idols, my heroes. Man, now I want to watch Everybody Loves Raymond. The 18th other one's on this page, so... Okay, so then we move on to October 19th. I have three, because two of them stood out, and I thought I'd put the other one in to be nice.
Okay.
First, I'll do Jon Favreau.
Oh, Jon Favreau.
Favreau, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He was born 1966. He's an American actor, filmmaker, and comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's funny. He has directed Elf, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Cowboys and Aliens, The Jungle Book. Mm-hmm. I want to see The Jungle Book.
Yeah, I'm actually got some faith in these Disney live-action remakes, because I've seen Maleficent, we saw Cinderella, Jungle Book just was never my story.
I want to see Pete's Dragon, too.
You've seen both of the Alice movies.
In love. And did you know that he's also to blame for the movie Rudy?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not only did he star in it, but he wrote it. Yeah. I blame you, Jon Favreau, it's your fault.
Yeah, although...
But Sean Astin's happily married because of him now.
Mm-hmm. Then again, I love Jon Favreau.
I do, too, because I was reading down the list, because I have a movie, a Christmas movie that me and my mom and dad watch every year.
Four Christmases.
He plays Dallas. I think he's Dallas.
Mm-hmm. He's,
The one guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And which, I shouldn't like the movie because I don't like Vince Vaughn.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's Vince Vaughn's brother or something like that.
But it's just a cute movie.
It is. And, just the fact that the guy is done a lot of work. The first thing I remember him in was in the movie Swingers.
Yep, he was awesome. He also wrote that one.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then he was an executive producer on The Avengers, Iron Man 3, and Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah, that man loves his Marvel.
And I vaguely remember this. He appeared as Pete Becker, Monica Geller's boyfriend, during season 3 of Friends.
Oh, God.
He produces his films under his banner Fairview Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you see Fairview Entertainment, know that John Favreau?
Favreau
has had his hands in that cookie jar.
Yep.
We'll save the best for last. The next October 19th birthday, because I got one more after this,
okay,
is Trey Parker.
Didn't we just have Matt Stone like a few weeks ago?
I don't know. Born 1969, he is an American actor, obviously animator, writer, director, producer, singer, and songwriter. I don't want to ever hear him sing.
Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker. That's probably it right there.
God, mommy, big, 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 big.
Yes! Oh, God, yes. So, what did he do work on besides South Park?
He's obviously known for being the co-creator of South Park.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yep.
Along with his creative partner, Matt Stone, whom you just mentioned,
mm-hmm,
as well as co-writing and co-directing the Tony Award-winning musical, The Book of Mormon. And then he loses me. The two collaborated on various short films and starred in a feature-length musical titled Cannibal the Musical in 1993. And then wrote second film Orgasmo in 1997.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like him a little bit more after having to research him.
Why did we both go, yeah, when we said Orgasmo?
It's hilarious.
Okay, I've never seen Orgasmo.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, God.
It is funny.
Okay. On that note.
On that note. Best for last.
Time to calm down.
Gotta get serious. Time for the podcast to get serious.
We're gonna get cereal now.
Gotta get super cereal now.
Super cereal.
Thanks for asking.
I'm super. Thanks for asking.
Okay, this isn't serious. Okay, take a breath.
Ooh. This gentleman was born in 1940.
Okay, that's a serious time.
He's an Irish-born English actor, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Irish-born did English movies, who has worked in theater, television, and film. He is Sir Michael Gambon.
Oh, Michael Gambon.
I'm telling you, it's like we're getting him all the way in these past couple months. I think last month was the other Dumbledore.
Richard Harris, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good... Look him up on IMDb one time. His earlier work, he was a handsome gentleman back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Gambon, yes, please continue.
He has played mystery writer protagonist in the BBC television series The Singing Detective. I would like to hear him sing. Unlike Trey Parker, I would like to hear him sing. Jules Maigret in the 90s ITV series Maigret. And Professor Albus Dumbledore in the Harry Potter films,
mm-hmm,
after the death of actor Richard Harris.
God bless your soul, Mr. Harris.
Narrator in Hail Caesar, which I still need to see.
We still need to see that one, yeah.
I need to play Elder Scrolls Online, apparently, because he is the voice of the prophet.
Yeah, you really don't need to play ES. just saying.
Yeah, if you got some, like...
If you really want to play a game, just go play the remastered version of Skyrim right
now. Yeah.
He was on the Christmas special of Christmas Carol in 2010 of Doctor Who. I know!
Oh, I remember it. Yes, I remember that now.
I couldn't think of what I was thinking of until I looked it up. I'm like, okay, that episode, yes!
Mm-hmm, yep.
Because it's one of those, I recorded a bunch of the Christmas specials a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to watch any of them.
Yeah, it was the one with the cryo freezer and the swimming in the sky shark swimming in the air. I remember that.
Remember that one, yes. He was King George V in The King's Speech.
I still need to see that fucking movie.
I know, me too. He was in The Book of Eli.
Mm-hmm.
He was the voice of Franklin Bean in the Fantastic Mr. Fox. Man, there's a lot of people in this Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Really?
Have you not watched it?
No.
That's pretty good, actually.
What's it about?
It's an animated series about a fox and, you know, going out and being kind of like
a
human.
It definitely was a movie, too. Yeah.
Oh, I was just thinking, I'm talking about the animated thing.
This is the movie.
Oh, I don't know about that, then.
He was in The Good Shepherd, an obvious remake of The Omen.
Mm-hmm.
The Life Aquatic with Zeev Zizou.
Mm-hmm.
Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. We have that movie. Isn't that the movie with...
Jude Law.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just rewatched it recently. Jude Law and Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina.
He was in Layer Cake. And you wouldn't know this because you've seen it only once of how many times you could stomach watching it. He was Baltus Van Tassel in the movie Sleepy Hollow.
No, I remember him in that.
And he was also the voice of Badger in The Wind in the Willows.
Mm. See, I actually remember seeing him in a movie, I'm surprised I ever saw this movie, Gosford Park. It was like all British and something like that.
Oh. It was all British.
Shush. Shush.
How British of you.
Yeah, how British of you. Although, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Clooney, Meryl Streep, Jason Schwartzman, Bill Murray.
Yeah, but they're all voice actors, aren't they, for him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all animated. But
that's what I said.
Eric Chase Anderson, I don't know who he is, but Michael Gambon, Willem Dafoe, Owen Wilson, Wes Anderson. Yeah, that's got a shit ton of big names in it.
That's why we need to watch it.
Brian Cox. Oh, God, I love Brian Cox.
Okay. Are we ready for the 20th?
Hold on. Let me get... Hang on to my seat. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, I got something old, something new.
Something borrowed and someone that's been blue in a movie?
Kind of an ironic, but... First one... we'll go old and new.
Okay.
First one was born in 1882.
Okay.
Died August 16th, 1956.
Makes me
so
feel
my dad wasn't even born yet when
that makes me feel like
died.
The president or something like that.
It's an actor.
Okay. Who we got?
Bela Lugosi.
Oh, you were talking about him earlier this week. You were pre-researching.
Bela Ferenc Dezo Blaszko was a Hungarian-American actor.
That's kind of cool.
Famous for portraying Count Dracula. Anytime I say Count Dracula.
April gets her fake Transylvanian accent.
In the original 1931 film, and for his roles in various other films. Him and Lon Chaney, you know they were buddies, right?
Was Lon Chaney the one that was originally in Nosferatu? That movie creeps me out.
I'm not sure if that was him, but I know he was the werewolf.
Okay, oh yeah, I'm going to have to look at that
Wolf
up.
Wolfman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then the next one.
The new.
Well, should I go by age or when we remember seeing them?
Take your pick.
When we remember seeing them. This next one was born in 1965. He is an American actor, screenwriter, director, and producer. He is best known for his villain roles in several iconic 1980s films.
Oh.
And if you ever talk shit about him in front of Barney Stinson, he will kick your ass.
That is
William Zabka.
William Zabka. Oh, Billy Zabka. Actually, you know what? Yeah, he was a dick in those 80s movies.
But he wasn't a bad-looking chap, and he still looks good,
still
even
looks
though he's aging, yeah.
Well, yeah, considering...
He's growing into himself.
Yes, yeah. But continue onward. William Zabka.
He is obviously known for being the bad boy Johnny in The Karate Kid. He was also in National Lampoon's European Vacation. I love that movie.
Mm-hmm, as Audrey's boyfriend.
He was Chaz in Back to School.
Oh yeah, Chaz, motherfucker.
He was Rick in Hot Tub Time Machine, as well as obviously several episodes of How I Met Your Mother as himself.
Mm-hmm, oh yeah.
But,
now,
yeah.
Now, here's my question. Since you researched him, is he really a poet? You remember how I Met Your Mother? They said he was also a poet.
I don't know. I was focusing on the actor.
Okay.
Okay, that could have just been him fucking around.
Yeah, it could have just been fictional fucking
but
around.
But we can look that up later.
Wiki says nothing about it.
Okay. So just a straight up actor.
So he was just, yeah. Okay. So the last one is a little bit older than Zabka, but we've seen him more recently.
Okay.
Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, Viggo.
Born 1958. And I'm sure I'm going to miss some movie that somebody likes that he's been in, but I'm listing the ones that I know of.
That, do it. You know, honestly, besides the ones you're probably about to mention and maybe one other I can think of, I don't know really many others.
He's an American actor.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. It's kind of like how I was thinking Marsden was actually European. And I was wrong. He's from, what, South Carolina, I think I found out?
Oh, you mean Marsters?
Marsters, yes. Sorry, I've been looking at the stuff for Westworld, so Marsden's in my head right
now.
I know.
Anyways, Viggo Mortensen is an American actor who actually got his first pivotal role when he got a small role in the movie Witness, and I think it was 85.
Wow.
He was also in Fresh Horses and Young Guns 2, which I've seen Young Guns 2.
Okay.
I've never heard of the Indian Runner or Boiling Point, but they sounded kind of popular and they were mentioned. He was in Carlito's Way, Crimson Tide, G.I. Jane. He played Sam Loomis in Psycho. A Walk on the Moon. I think he played her drunken boyfriend in with Sandra Bullock for 28 Days.
Okay.
He was obviously in Hidalgo. I loved Hidalgo. Yep,
Hidalgo.
A History of Violence. Oh, and he was in The Road.
That's the other one that I knew was History of Violence.
I read the book. The Road is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Is that all the
movie? The movie wasn't quite as good as the book. It ended differently.
Yeah.
But it was still good in its own right.
Is that all the movies he's been in, April?
Well, what do you think?
No.
There's three in particular. Can anybody name them, or should I? Let's see. We've got Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, and Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Which one of the three do you think he best portrayed his character in?
Return of the King.
Really? See, I actually liked him more when he was kind of the stalkerish Strider.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I didn't like him in the other two, but yeah. I think he came more in, his character came more into himself in the third one.
Oh, well, definitely.
When he finally, when he finally came to terms with who he was.
I was going to say embrace his heritage, but yeah.
Oh.
Yes, Jason?
Nothing.
Okay.
There's nothing information on him. Like, I'm looking at it, and they just keep talking about Legolas, but that's not him, so. I'm like,
whoops!
They keep referencing him. I'm like, that's not his picture.
No, Strider, Aragorn.
Yeah.
No, Legolas is Mr. Motherfucker.
Oh, no, I mean, I recognize him as Strider by his face, but I don't know why they cross-reference him.
Because people are weird.
Yeah.
So those are your October 20th birthdays. We got the 21st and the 22nd, and we're good. All right, so October 21st has three,
okay.
And October 22nd has three. October 21st, this gentleman was born in 1833,
okay.
Died December 10th, 1896, and his name was Alfred Nobel.
Ooh!
Ironic that it comes about now, right?
Yeah, well, I think that's probably probably in
with
respect.
Getting the Nobel Peace Prize for his writing.
Oh, Bob Dylan! Bob Dylan!
Oh, gosh.
Is it bad that I know how to imitate him? Anyways.
So, Alfred Nobel.
He actually did more stuff than I realize.
Okay.
He didn't just found the Nobel Peace Prize. There's a reason he founded the Nobel Peace Prize.
Because of his big humanitarian?
Psh, are you kidding?
Because he was known for being treasonous?
Was a Swedish chemist, engineer, inventor, businessman, and philanthropist. Known for inventing dynamite.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Nobel also owned Bofors, which he had redirected from its previous role as primarily an iron and steel producer to a major manufacturer of cannon and other armaments.
Oh, damn.
Nobel held 355 different patents, dynamite being the most famous.
That's kind of awesome.
After reading a premature obituary about himself, which condemned him for profiting from the sales of arms, he bequeathed his fortune to the Institute, the Nobel Prizes.
So in other words, if Tony Stark actually ever really, you know...
If Tony Stark ever felt guilty for what he'd done,
that's what he would do. Well, he kind of did by making the Iron Man suit, but that's besides the point.
I just thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, seeing a premature obit makes him donate all of his money after his death, that kind of says you actually got a little bit of a moral compass in you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. I was doing something bad. Maybe I should stop.
Yep.
Okay. These next two are for very geeky people.
Oh.
Carrie Fisher.
Oh, damn. I wonder who she's... Who is she?
For 1956. She's an American actress and writer.
Yeah, I know she's a writer.
Best known for portraying Princess Leia in the original Star Wars trilogy and Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Princess Sticky Buns.
Also known for her semi-autobiographical novels, including Postcards from the Edge, and the screenplay for the film of the same name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard of that book that she wrote.
Also well known for being in Shampoo, The Blues Brothers, mm-hmm. Hannah and Her Sisters, The Burbs, mm-hmm. and When Harry Met Sally. But we all know her as Princess Leia in the slave girl outfit, if you ask any male.
What?
Oh, is that her?
That was her. Yeah.
Y'all are full of crap.
Yeah, we are.
Totally. Don't even play.
Hey, at least neither one of us have a life-size standee of her in the slave girl outfit.
Currently.
Moving on.
I'm trying to kick you and I kicked the dog.
Moving on, April. Who's your third for the 21st?
His name is Andrew Scott.
No relation.
He was born in 1976.
Okay.
He is Irish. He was born in Dublin, Ireland. He's an Irish film, television, and stage actor.
Yeah.
I know him best.
Oh.
For anyone who has seen the BBC series Sherlock, he plays Jim Moriarty.
Yep.
Oh.
Moriarty.
And let me tell you, the boy does crazy well. Ooh. And Max Denby? Bigby? In the James Bond film Spectre.
Oh, okay. Yep, gotcha.
He also played Dr. Addison Bennett in Alice Through the Looking Glass, because I saw the movie and I'm like, oh my goodness, Moriarty! I said it just like that. I'm sure Jason probably would have been...
While you're in the movie theater.
It's her. I don't know who she is.
I don't know who this freak is right next to me.
Yep.
And here's a movie I need to see really, really, really bad. He played Inspector Turpin in Victor Frankenstein.
Huh.
I want to see that so bad. It's got a lot of newer people in it.
Oh, I think that was just on Netflix recently.
It better be.
Because that was the one with Victor Frankenstein that also had...
newer one.
That had McAvoy and...
Yes!
And Harry Potter.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Radcliffe.
Yes. Mm. I want to see it. I have to see if it's on Netflix after this.
Dun,
dun. Ladies and gentlemen, it will be a Victor Frankenstein night if I have anything to say about it.
22nd.
Saturday, October 22nd, the day I go buy pumpkins.
Pumpkins?
We'll start with Daniel Boone.
I wonder who he is.
He was born in 1734 and died September 26th, 1820. No, he wasn't just the television character played by the same guy who played... There was David Crockett. Same guy who played David Crockett played him, so it confused my mom.
David Crockett.
Because they were both black and white TV shows. They both had friends that were Indians and were fighting Indians. My mom was highly confused.
That's true.
And I can't think of his name right now. I know his name. But anyways, the real Daniel Boone was an American pioneer, explorer, woodsman, and frontiersman, whose frontier exploits made him one of the first folk heroes in the United States.
Hmm.
I've actually been to the area that he's known for. What?
Oh, you're good. I'm just saying, Wikipedia here shows his birthday is November 2nd.
I went to Wikipedia and...
Maybe I got the wrong Daniel Boone.
I don't know.
Maybe I should go look up Davy Crockett real quick.
Maybe you should look up Davy Crockett. Womp, womp,
womp, womp. He was most famous for his exploration and settlement of what is now Kentucky.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Which was then part of Virginia, but on the other side of the mountains from the settled areas.
Virginia.
So it was on the other side of the Appalachian Mountains.
Gotcha.
Now, despite some resistance from the American Indian tribes, such as the Shawnee, in 1775, he blazed his wilderness road through the Cumberland Gap in the Appalachian Mountains from North Carolina and Tennessee into Kentucky.
Hmm.
I've been on the Cumberland Gap. It's a pretty highway.
It is.
There he founded the village of Boonesboro, which I have been to in Kentucky, one of the first American settlements west of the Appalachian Mountains.
That sounds like a place you want to take your dog.
Just a place I want to go again. It's beautiful out there because Kentucky isn't full-fledged mountains. It's foothills.
Yeah.
It's where you've got the Cumberland Gap, Cumberland Falls, which Cumberland Falls is where you see the Moonbow, Fort Boonesboro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Daniel Boone had a little bit to say about the... It had something to do with the Fort Boonesboro. That place is really cool.
He died in Montana and was buried in Kentucky, if that matters.
That's cool. When did he die?
Oh, I don't know.
You took my paper. When did he die?
Oh, 1820?
Can I have my paper back since I'm not done?
Oh.
And as a side note, unfortunately, April, I have to tell you that looking at all the major services that I see, minus Hulu, since I don't look at that, Victor Frankenstein is not available on any of them.
No!
Netflix, HBO Now.
How late is Family Video open tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Probably till midnight, like all the video stores.
10.
That still exists.
No, it's Sunday, so it's 10.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Number two birthday.
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum?
Whoa.
I like Jeff Goldblum.
Going a little cray-cray. You think he's going cray-cray now? Wait till the next one.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
Jeff Goldblum was born in 1952. He is a very smart man. Anytime he's ever been on Celebrity Jeopardy, he has won by huge margins.
I believe that. Oh.
He's an American-born actor, obviously best known for Jurassic Park,
mm-hmm.
Independence Day, The Lost World, Jurassic Park, and Independence Day Resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
He was also in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, The Big Chill, and became well-known for being in The Fly.
That's the one I actually first remember him in.
I have a quote for you. I don't think I'm, you know, so different than your average, you know, average. Going on the whole Jeopardy
thing. Yeah. He was also in Powder, The Prince of Egypt, and Cats and Dogs.
What? You're not going to mention one of his most famous movies? Earth Girls Are Easy. Please do not ask me why. I know he was
I've seen that.
Yeah, I know.
There's reasons I didn't, because it wasn't one of the greatest movies he's ever been in.
I know. It just, yes.
I shouldn't have been watching that
Viruses
movie.
Viruses and Independence Day is all I really care about.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Jurassic Park was good, but.
I know, some of his little lines in Jurassic Park was very, very quirky and witty. And
nature finds a way.
Yeah.
Love, that role was perfect for him.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how you travel, it's still you going.
What was he, a mathematician, I think?
Chaos theorist.
Chaos theorist.
Yeah. So basically, basically a mathematician.
That's
nice. Or if you said I went nuts over Jeff Goldblum, I'm holding on to my seat for this last one.
So help me God.
I will bite my tongue.
If you get really loud, you don't get lasagna before you leave.
Meep.
Born October 22nd, 1938. Give me a test for you. Christopher Lloyd.
Aww.
American actor, also voice actor, mm-hmm. and best known for his role as Emmett Doc Brown in the Back to the Future trilogy. He was Judge Doom in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Love that movie. He's so creepy.
Uncle Fester in The Addams Family and its sequel, Addams Family Values. All we can say to that is, Great Scott!
Mm-hmm. Yep. Actually, that was one of the first things I was able to actually, I pulled a VHS, pulled my VHS copy of Back to the Future, pulled the sound clip of him doing that. Whenever I redid the load up for my old DOS computer, and every time it would load up, it would play the sound file saying, Great Scott.
I know, I used to, when I had my Acer, and it was like Windows 95,
mm-hmm.
Windows 2000, that, when you could change your sounds for like your AOL and your AOL Messenger and all that stuff. I would do themes.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point I had Labyrinth. At one time I had Willow. Another time I had Back to the Future. I had Princess Bride. That one was fun. Monty Python was great because whenever I had an email, I was like, message please.
Even better, whenever you send them, you had the Princess Bride set up and you could do the send button for an email as you wish.
Mm. My logoff was, bye-bye, boys! Have fun storming the castle!
Awesome.
I miss doing that.
You still can. They just kind of bury those settings, probably because people get annoyed by that.
Well, you do that to your phone anyhow. For the longest time,
you
had
your phone.
What?
I can't now.
Yeah.
I got a freaking iPhone.
This part of the podcast brought to you our hatred of Apple. So.
That's another podcast.
Yeah. So that's all our birthdays, April?
That's all our birthdays, Christopher.
Oh, damn. I guess that means it's time for me to talk. And you know what?
What you going to be talking about again?
Games.
Oh, I love games.
Jason, shall we play a game?
Let's play a game, Chris.
Do you want to play a game?
Shall we play a game, April? You're talking Saw, I'm talking war games.
Mm-hmm. Not much difference. They're both scary.
Games. I just thought about it, and it's like, okay, yeah, I'm having to start packing for my move in 2 weeks, so, you know, things are starting to weigh heavy on me. So what was I starting to look at today? My board games. And I'm just like, you know what? Let's see. Woke up, played some WoW, started packing, looked at my board games, waiting around to start the podcast, playing on a game on my phone. I'm like, damn, I really play a shit ton of games, don't I? But you know what? It's been a lifelong obsession. Games, I've been playing games for I don't know how long.
Me too.
I think all of us at this table have collectively.
Yeah.
My mom even said she misses game night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, we should have actually really put into effect. We were going to have this one Friday, but, you know.
Things happen.
Things happen. But just in general.
I can't even say life happens.
Yeah. But yeah, games. I mean, who can't say life isn't better without some games? People with no sense of fun would say that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and it's all types of games. It's just like, you know, I'm just thinking about the games that I like. It's really all of them. Board games, card games, video games, tabletop games, even
role-playing games!
Yes.
Tabletop games.
Oh, I guess I kind of classify it differently because it's so special to me.
No, I would say RPGs I would classify semi-separately. Collectible card games, you know, tradable card games, all that shit. And it's just like,
would you call Pong or the, what were those things, the Pogs that you know had a slammer? And the
I never did Pogs. Yeah.
I never played Pogs. I just collected them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I would really consider that a game, but pretty damn close. It's on that borderline right there. But I mean, there's so many games. I mean. That's the thing I like about life, is that games are something that can bring you all together. I mean, hell. I mean, we get everybody together every week for role-playing. You get together with all your buddies on Tuesday, Wednesday nights for raiding on WoW. So yeah. Most Tuesday and Wednesdays.
Oh, pretty much every single one.
Yeah.
Very, very, very few exceptions.
Very infrequently, yeah, yes. Exactly.
Very few exceptions.
As long as I've known you, almost every Tuesday and every Wednesday night, you're out there raiding. April. Yeah,
for like the last 7 years.
Every New Year's, we go to my mom and dad's to play board games and card games. And
not to mention the fact that, you know, you just love... I know, April, you personally like have that little sick part of you. You have that little sick side inside of you that loves introducing people to Cards Against Humanity. I know you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not to mention, April.
Especially that I can quote black cards from memory.
Exactly. Not to mention, like, I mean, just it's daily acquisitions. Like, well, April, what's that in your hand?
Why, Chris, I'm glad you asked. It is the newest card game I have discovered. Unfortunately, it is a Target exclusive. The Oregon Trail.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, actually isn't a bad thing. I like the fact that Target actually
made
me mad.
That's another
story.
But
they offered it at a lot cheaper price than I would have expected. Like, something like that. Like, 15. How much did you pay? $15?
$16.04 with tax.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could have been trying to charge $20
or $30. It would have been, like, $20 if I would have had them ship it to the house. But, hey, if I'd have had them shipped to the house, I wouldn't have gotten Culver's on the south side.
There you go.
Anyways, on my lovely box for everyone who has ever played the computer game, it says, you have died of dysentery.
And I mean, that's just funny. I mean, it's just, all three of us have played Oregon Trail in our past lives, and it's just like...
And I always either die of dysentery or trying to cross the damn river.
Yeah,
fjording the river.
Fjording the river. So, I mean, it's just little things. I mean, we can just... We're looking at that, we're just geeking over, and, you know, just the fact that there's a game based on an old game. Yep.
I remember playing the first SimCity, the big old squares.
Oh, my God. Oh. Simulations. As for video games, simulations are some of my... Oh, those are my biggest time wasters. Those are the biggest ones that I will waste all my time on. Pretty much back in the late 80s, early 90s, every single flipping... Sims game that came out. Sim Ant, Sim Earth, Sim Sim Farm.
I love the Sims.
Oh my god, so much simming back then. But
I love the Sims as well. I am obsessed with the Sims 2.
With the Sims 2, but you don't really care for 3 or 4 either.
I've played 3. Number 2. Thanks.
Yeah. So, what do you... I mean, I like it because it does have a social aspect. It really has a social aspect because, you know what? Sometimes, especially nowadays, as much as our world is getting further segregated, further separated, further scrutinized and separate, you know...
People figure, why hang out? Is it textable?
Exactly. It's like games can actually get you together. I mean, look at all the diversity we just have in our role-playing group, and not just the group that we have now, but over the last, you know, 16 months of our group that's been together since last June. I mean, we've had people come, we've had people go, willingly and unwillingly go. And it's just like we've had such a ranging diversity of players, and it's just nice to have those different things that we get to see. I love the social aspect of games. And, you know, yeah, there's the whole thing where I like to win a game. You know, if I'm going to play something, I like to win. April, what do you like in particular about games? Anything in particular? Or you just like to play?
I like games where I have to think.
You like thinking games?
My mom and dad have this game called Scrutinize.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is you get these pictures, and they're two different sides. One's like cartoony type pictures with different little themes. Mm-hmm. And the other side is actual just artsy looking pictures. You know what game I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you roll a dice, and it tells you if you're going to do top left, bottom right, bottom half.
Mm-hmm.
And then the top of the thing gives you your theme. Like words that start with the letter
L.
R.
Yeah.
Or S. Or if you flip it over, you have to look at the cartoon little things, and it's song titles.
Mm.
And you have to look at what everybody's doing in this picture and pick all the song titles before the timer runs out.
Oh, wow.
My mom and dad don't really like that game, but I love that game.
Because it makes you think.
And I have now purchased the Scattergories.
Mm-hmm.
I love Scattergories. I like Clue.
Oh, yeah.
I have, like, 3 different versions of Clue.
There's Clue, one of many games that put out multiple versions of itself, which
like
is fun.
Monopoly.
Like Monopoly.
We
oh
have,
my god. Oh
we
my.
Now have Big Bang Theory Clue, Doctor Who Clue, and Firefly Clue.
Who Clue.
Jason, what do you like about games?
What do I like about games?
What do you
Everything like? About games. I like games because they
keep... So do you like losing? So you like losing, Jason?
Sometimes. Sometimes it actually builds character. So, okay. I mean, like, I don't mind losing as long as I just don't continuously lose. There are certain games where you just, like, play, like, Counter-Strike, Global Offensive. Mm-hmm. I can jump in there, and you can tell obvious people are just hacking and cheating, and it is no fun at that point. So, you have to hop to another server and all that kind of stuff. But I've been playing Overwatch, which is a great game. Mm-hmm. So... but, you know, I mean, in general, like, World of Warcraft, Overwatch, just video games in general. I have so many games. Like, Don't Starve. Like, I love that for a good while.
I've seen Don't Starve. My brother showed me that before.
I like survival games like that.
Mm-hmm.
Rust is another one just kind of like it, only Rust is more MMO kind of version of it. So, because there's a Don't Starve Together now where you can play with friends, and you both don't starve. So, and you both kind of build these little things.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah, it is really fun. But board games, yeah, I like board games. Mm-hmm. Not as much as I like video games, but they're still on my list. Like, I'll play a good game of, I don't know, I can't say I like Monopoly, but...
We like play Munchkin.
Yeah, Munchkin is awesome.
Oh, jeez.
Well, that's a card game. I love card games. Yeah. Like, Magic the Gathering, Munchkin, what were the other ones that we were playing?
We played that dungeon delving one that was to us.
I was trying to figure out, I forgot what that's called, it was dungeon something.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, there are so many just diverse games out there. And, like, there are some games that, like, there was a hacking one that I used to play all the time. I forgot what it's called.
Was it a card game?
Yeah, it was a card game. Net something.
Yeah, Net. It was based on Shadowrun. God, I just, They just came out with a newer version.
Yeah, I mean, they keep coming out with this game. Netrunner.
Netrunner. Fuck, yeah.
I bought the beginning, very, very first set of that when they first released it.
So did I.
And it was like a green, blue set or whatever color. Yeah. And I loved the game. Like, it was great.
Yeah, I remember actually playing.
Icebreaker. You had, you know, like, you were playing as, like, legit kind of hacking, kind of idealistic kind of game.
It was a Magic the Gathering type hack. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of card games, I have this game called Gloom.
I have yet
to play it, but I know the premise of it.
Mm-hmm.
You get this family, and the goal is to make this family's life as miserable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they have different themes. And the person whose family is either the most miserable or dead at the end of the game wins.
Yep.
A friend told me about the game. He got me at, like, the main set and a couple of expansions, but I can't ever find anybody to play with me.
You know what? I'll play it with you before I leave.
And then, speaking of Magic the Gathering, not only do we have a crap ton of Magic the Gathering cards in this house, but I have Spellfire cards. I know, right?
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Just one little set. My friend Tim in college tried to get me into it. Just enough that I bought one set of cards, but I think I tried to play, like, once.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, I own Spellfire cards.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, here's some of my all-time favorite games. I mean, this is going to span multiple areas. Blackjack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know,
I have a poker set upstairs.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a game of skill. Yes. I would say it's both skill.
Well, it's more like a memorization of when to hit, or...
Yeah, it's skill, it's chance, it's kind of an intuition game. I mean, it's not as intuitive as, like, poker, but, I mean, you know, that... If I go to a casino, I'll sit down and play blackjack. If I'm actually going to sit down and play a card game, you know, I mean, yeah, more times than often I'm going to go play a slot, but if I'm going to actually play a card game, I'm going to go sit down and blackjack.
As long as you're going there to have fun, that's fine.
Oh, yeah,
but
totally.
The house is always against you whenever you go to a casino.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Like when I go, when I'm going
to. Don't expect to ever win.
Oh, please. My theory on going to casinos is this. Left pocket has all my starting money. I take from left pocket, it goes into machine, table, whatever. Whatever I want to do, you know, whatever I feel like pocketing away, I put it in right pocket. When left pocket is empty, walk away. You do not go back into right pocket. You do not get any cards from right pocket. You don't do anything else with right pocket. Just, if there's nothing in left pocket, you walk away.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
My rule is I will play until I win, or if I run out of what I'm playing with.
Exactly.
If I win, depending on how much I win, like when you win like $4 and something cents, yeah, probably will keep going.
Yeah.
But then when you take two of that $4 and put it into a penny slot, push buttons like you don't know what you're doing. Oh, wait, I didn't know anything. And when $444, you walk away.
You run the fuck away.
Even if you got 18 bucks left to use, you walk away and buy everybody in your group drinks.
Another one of my all-time favorites. Civilization. The Civilizations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Massively replayable. And really the first kind of video game, a lot of, you know, when you see a lot of these nowadays, a lot as an open world. Because, I mean, the world generates what it does all by itself. You know, the landscapes, the water, and all that. And, I mean, the computer's always going to do different things. And, I mean, you can do what you want. You can go military. You can go scientific. You can go cultural. I always used to go the scientific route when I played Civilization.
I absolutely love those games. The problem with those games is they take days to play. So, like, literally, like, I've spent days playing games like that.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So, like, one game. Just one game session.
Yeah, one game. Yeah.
Like, I'm just there all day sitting there playing that game, just trying to figure out the numbers, like, playing against the hardest logic AI.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun doing calculations and all that to try to figure out the best route to, like, beat the game.
Yeah.
But.
A very obscure game, Battletech, but not the tabletop version. When they actually, back in the day in Dave & Buster's, and even before that, when they had places called Virtual World, like in Chicago, it was on Chicago's, not Navy Pier, but like the North Pier or some other spot that they had, it was actual full encompassed cockpits that were, you were literally driving a battle mech, Battletech mech, and it's, you know, it was like a full simulator. So you had, you know, the different weaponry and all that. And those were pretty awesome. And there were...
I remember Microsoft's early attempts at those games where you would drive around a mech. Mm-hmm. And I forgot what it was called. Mech Warrior?
Yeah, Mech Warrior. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this
I don't know if that's on that level or
it's
not.
Very similar. Very, very, very similar. I mean, it was all still, you know, licensed and all that. But, yeah, I mean, it was just the whole, the unique experience. I mean, now you've got these things where you sit in a pod, and you've got the racing simulators.
Yeah.
You've got the pod simulators and all that. But this was really the first one.
Are you saying you're sitting in this thing?
Yeah. If I can...
With, like, a heads-up display all around you?
Yes, like, monitors, heads-up display.
Oh, I like how they did some of the racing games, where you get into the thing, and the screen is right in front of you, and you're pretty much feeling like you're in the race car.
Well, I would imagine it's probably like an IMAX kind of experience, right? Like, you're trying to get, like, a bigger field of view while you're, like, in the vehicle or whatever, or mech.
I mean, it was multiple screens. You would actually see... your ammo, fire report, your armor, your heads-up display, your radar, like all of these. And it was pretty pretty amazing back in the day. And I will have to find some more information on those.
Yeah, I remember playing some of those games where you sat in the, it wasn't completely surrounding though, but like, and you had like another player too that was next to you that could assist you if they hopped in and played too. Mm-hmm. So they'd get their own mech or whatever. I think it was a tank. I think it had two different games, like a mech and a tank game.
Right, yeah. There was a couple of different ones after a while.
But speaking on your Civilization game, though, when I was in college, used to play a game called Sins of a Solar Empire. You've probably never heard of it. It's an Ironclad game. I really like Ironclad, like as a development company, a lot of their game products. But it is a fantastic game. And if you like... So what it is you have different planets, and... You get resources from them, and it's pretty much a battle, like, amongst starships and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
So you're building tech, but you can win outside of tech. I mean, or outside of just pure force, too, because you can actually start building these, like, culture, like, enhancing, so you can overtake other planets with your culture.
Yeah.
So then they'll just join you eventually. Like, you'll overwhelm them with so much culture that they just become 100% yours.
Wow.
So then you pretty much gain access to everything. There. So, I mean, there are like three different routes. I think diplomacy, culture, and just pure force. And then there are like three or four races, and each one had its benefits for each of the different attacks.
Yeah, I'm looking over some information. Yeah, Virtual World Entertainment was what it used to have. But, of course, things have been bought down and bought out. There's right now only four BattleTech centers still in existence. Closest one is in Grand Rapids.
Oh, wow.
Just up there.
Yep. So, I mean, that was the thing. It was just an all-inclusive thing. It was very cool. Next on my all-time favorite list, Spellfire.
Oh, yes. Spellfire.
The runner-up to the bigot, you know, to the CCG Onslaught that came out way back in the day, because... Oddly enough, I always thought Spellfire came out first, then Magic. Magic actually beat Spellfire by the year.
Spellfire was TSR. I don't know if Wizards of the Coast acquire them, though, after? I don't think they did. I think Wizards of the Coast, that Spellfire ended before Wizards bought TSR.
Yeah,
because they were trying to compete, and it wasn't working very well.
So, quick thing, and we might actually include these on the show notes or on the page. But that's the inside of what the screens look like on a bat.
That's cool.
I mean, it's like I said, just full heads up. For quite a while, they were in a shit ton of Dave and Buster's. So, like, my old Dave and Buster's back in Utica, they had one there. But yeah, Spellfire. Me and my buddies played the shit out of that. I think one of the biggest, one of the most dastardly cards that was still in there was like Mezabarazan or something like that. I'd have to look that up, but
My problem with Spellfire though was the entry cards packs that you bought weren't playable right off the bat for me.
No, you did have to buy like an
extra. Had to buy a bunch of extra stuff for it, and I didn't do that. I just bought like the whatever thing I thought was a starter.
I did too.
And so I found out that wasn't enough, and I'm like, I'm like, okay. And then
at least with Magic the Gathering, you can buy a starter pack.
Yeah.
See, back in the day, this was one issue I had when all the CCGs started coming out. Whenever I saw any new one, I would buy
two starters and like four boosters for me and a friend to play all the freaking time. And I cannot tell you the variety of the games that I got. Spellfire, Magic. I know there was a Dragon Ball Z one at one point.
I remember hearing about that. There was Star Wars.
Star Trek the Original
I had the
series.
Star Wars starter pack for that. Mm-hmm. And that was actually not that bad, but it had the same rarity issue with certain cards. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Star Wars, Star Trek Original Series, Star Trek Next Gen. Some that I would care never to ever mention. And just I probably wasted several grand on the variety of CCGs I played back. Yeah. Purchased at least. I might not have even played these at some times. It was just ridiculous.
I'm just glad most of my friends agreed just to play Magic the Gathering. Yeah. So I just focused on that after. I still wanted to, so Netrunner, a little bit of cards here and there. I just wanted to get the intros just to, get all that stuff. But
I know, yeah, exactly.
Magic the Gathering one.
I dipped my toe in a lot of different games. Shit ton of games. But yeah, I mean, after a while, it was pretty much Magic the Gathering until like 2001 for me. Because, I mean, we would play that at Laser Quest all the time when we were between games. Last one on my all-time favorite list, and it's just a simple one. Euchre. Euchre. Played it at home, played it at band. My parents still go at least one night a month and go there. They have a whole Euchre league. And the thing I like about Euchre, not only do you have to play your partner, you play with your partner, you have to play against your other, the other mm-hmm. people.
Right.
It's kind of like Hearts and stuff like that. And just, it's what I grew up on, and it's what I really knew.
So it was always three winks and then telling them, hey, don't pass, or go ahead and pass. I think I can help. With Hearts was three winks, Blackjack. Clubs was four, and a sneeze.
Not that I'm normally not a cheater in games.
Well, ask my dad. You two are partners.
Yeah. Not that Not that I usually cheat in games. Yeah, me, when I was my senior year in high school, us in the band, we would play Euchre all the damn time.
Yeah, I used to play at the lunch table.
Yeah, sometimes we would do that, but most of the time I was working the school store during that time. But we would, me and my junior buddy, Mark, we would play. And right when we started playing, right in the very beginning, we had worked on little tells as to, what we had suit-wise. And it's just like, yeah, we might have only won or lost once in my entire senior year. Believe me, when I learned my sophomore year, I learned from two of the biggest cheaters because mm-hmm. they would stack the deck. And
oh, my God.
Yeah. So talk about a learning experience. And the funny thing is, I swear, Euchre is really a Michigan tradition. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? I swear, 3 out of 4 people in Michigan know how to play Euchre.
I know. All we need is one more and we can have the game.
Oh, that's horrible, April. But yeah, I mean, Euchre's played typically with 4 players. Yeah. So
I don't know. Me and my mom, we like to play double solitaire. That's where you each have a deck. You gotta make sure the decks look almost completely. You know how each one has their own design. Mm-hmm. You gotta make sure if however many people are playing, that each deck looks severely different from the other deck, because you don't want to mistake yours for the person's.
Okay.
And you're all four trying to finish off
the stacks.
Piles.
Oh, wow.
And then when you're done and you count, whoever has the most in the piles
mm-hmm.
wins.
Oh, wow.
And let me tell you what, my mother has me trained in that game. I am mean.
Ooh,
I might draw blood.
Oh, damn. But yeah, those are just some of my all-time favorite games. I mean, just, and of course, I mean, that doesn't even touch any tabletop games, but these are my favorites. Tabletop games really, besides, your typical Scrabble, Clue, Monopoly, stuff like that, nowadays we've gotten into such a tabletop revolution nowadays.
I know, you have a board game for each war.
Yeah, Axis and Allies.
We went to Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
They had a game for Civil War, a game for Revolutionary War. They had a World War One game, a World War Two, and a couple of different options for each war. It wasn't just the Axis and Allies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just games are ridiculous now. I mean, board games. Yeah. I mean, obviously, computer games are evolving as everything else does, but it's just like even board games have gotten ridiculous. And it's good ridiculous, not bad ridiculous. I love good ridiculous.
My favorite games ever involved, at the time, a VHS player, but you can get a DVD version of Atmosphere.
I've never
seen... First it was Nightmare, and then it was Atmosphere.
Mm. I remember some of those old VHS games. Doorways to Horror. It was basically where it had old clips of horror movies, and it was like you would roll a die and you'd go to a certain door, so you'd have to fast forward to the certain door color, and you would watch this video and it'd be a certain horror monster or something like that. And if you had a card that was like fire or water or something that you could fight against the monster, you would get a point or a chip or something like that. Oh my god, I
still... Atmospheres, you were working against Time and the Gatekeeper.
Hey, on a side note, speaking of a game, and just that reminded me of something. Something we might want to... we may try out, possibly, if it's actually open before I leave here. Apparently, they've opened up one of those escape rooms here in Mishawaka.
Huh.
Yeah, right off the university, right by our work, April, actually. So, I got an email about it, so I don't know why I got an email about it.
Escape.
Yeah, one of those escape rooms where you basically have... You go as a group and you have to figure out how to get out of this room. And I don't know, that could be an interesting
thing. That would be fun.
Yeah, so if
that... Jason's intrigued.
Yeah, if that happens...
Do we know the theme of it?
I will look that up as we're on another subject. I will look that up. But yeah, that's how I feel about games. I loves games.
Well, let's put it this way: I'm so into board games. My dad took a piece of wood and made his own aggravation board, painted on it, bought all the marbles for it. Let me tell you what: if you intend to come to a Mitchell game night and intend to win an aggravation, you are sorely mistaken.
Awesome. All right.
It's very aggravating.
I even bought my mom and dad their own Cards Against Humanity because I was tired of them borrowing ours.
Okay. Yep. Just before we... Okay, so it's called Locked Up Escape Room Experience. Now open. Bookings available. Grand opening. Escape from Alcatraz. An infamous prison with a frightening historical story. Try to trace the steps of the only prisoners to ever escape Alcatraz. All those years of planning your escape are finally going to pay off. But don't let the prison guards catch you, or you will spend years in solitary. You only get one shot at the escape. Move fast before daylight comes and bed check reveals your absence. Success is the only option.
That sounds cool.
So yeah, we might have to possibly go and, you know, do a report on that once we, you know, if we get that in here soon. So
yeah. Cool.
Well, on that note, while we're talking about games, Jason, I think you got some wow dates.
I do. I got some World of Warcraft stuff, and including dates. So October 25th is patch 7.1.
Oh, damn! We know what that means!
Oh, my God. We're moving past Xavius, and we're bringing in Karazhan!
But wait.
Trial of Valor is going to be 2 weeks after 7.1 drop. So we got a little bit more time for the next raid. 2 weeks after that. So, but we get in Karazhan, which I don't know what the requirements are for Tumint yet. But if you get it unlocked, it will unlock across all of your characters. So once you have the Tumint worked out for Karazhan, you will be good on all your characters, because all you people who love having multiple characters at level 110, here you go, unlock it once you're good. So, there will be a level, there's going to be a level 850 mission for Karazhan, but it isn't required to run Karazhan. There was speculation that it was going to be part of the attunement requirements.
Oh.
So they were thinking, oh, everybody's going to have to get up. No, it's not. So it's not part of the attunement.
So it's
not, just going to be bonus loot.
So it's not a class hall mission.
There is a class hall mission, but it's not going to be for attunement.
Oh, that's what I meant. It's not going to be a class hall mission that's
required. It's not going to be required for you to play it. But it will be like one of those quests that we get with like an item, and it unlocks a quest inside, which will give you bonus loot.
Like I keep getting those fucking eggs. Those damn eggs.
So many different...
Oh my god, those fucking eggs.
And I don't know if it really pans out for you to do. I mean, like, it gives you something, but yeah. I don't know if it's like... It's not enough to tempt me to want to go run those dungeons still.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it probably is worth it if I won't run
them. I know, I still fucking need I need to find people to do Court of Stars in the Ark way.
Yeah, that means you gotta have five people who are unlocked with it, though, too.
That's another story.
Yeah. Well, as soon as you become that Good Samarian. Then you'll be right on your way. Anyways, so the blue posts are hinting that not all 7.0 secrets have been found. Patch 7.0.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently there's some still secrets out there.
What?
Yeah. That they haven't released yet, and nobody's been able to figure it out yet. They said it's probably going to require some data mining for the people, and it's not in the ocean. So stop looking in the ocean, people! It's not in the ocean, whatever the secret thing is, or secrets.
So it's something on land, then.
Yeah. So there's something on land we haven't unlocked yet.
Really? So,
yeah.
Huh.
But I love the fact that they've been adding these, like, secret crap. Like, the secret mysterious appearances, great. Keep that up.
Yeah, I just like some of these extra items that do some super sweet ass shit.
I'm bringing in a Scarecrow Pepe.
Yeah, we need to work on that as soon as Halloween starts up. So.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah. I gotta hit Halloween. So, yeah, I gotta really hit that up. I've never done anything for that before.
Do you like it home Tuesday? We're on WoW.
Yeah. But, like, how I've got that mother skinning knife. Now, I know it's not a secret, because as long as you find it, but damn, does that not help my life.
Well, it's part of the quest line, right, when you are a turn.
It's not necessarily skinning. Part of the quest line. You don't have to do it. You can avoid the kid and his mother.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to run into it, but God, does that help my leather working. Being able to skin something up to 40 yards away. 40 yards away.
Yeah,
doesn't have to be my skinning. I go into where we have to kill certain things, and I just go, you're not going to leave this thing? Skin, 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 fuck you all. I don't care.
Super skinner.
Yep.
So all you skinners out there, take note.
Yep. Mother skinning knife, you find it up in
Stonetalon? Or Stone?
No, Stormheim.
Stormheim, okay.
Yeah, because it's right there with all the fucking drakes.
Cool. With the moonkin, or the bird moonkin up there.
Mm-hmm.
And oh gosh, I thought that was funny.
It's sad.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but it's also sad. So,
was that Brookhaven? Was that town?
Are you talking about the one
Brainbrook?
Brainbrook.
Yeah, Brainbrook. That's my
favorite. The one in Velshar.
I like the British speaking worgen.
Oh yes, British worgen.
So they had a developer talk with Ian Hazacostas. So what came from that? There was a lot of stuff. I'm only going to give the highlights that I thought were important.
Okay.
Expect more class changes before patch 7.1. So they're kind of they are happy with things, but they feel that they still need to kind of tamper with things before the Trial of Valor pops out. So, they also buffed mages, frost mages. So now, Frost Mage is better than the Fire Mage spec.
Really?
Yeah, so apparently all these people who've been playing Fire Mages are probably going to need to switch out their legendaries to start using
and start working on the Frost.
Yeah, whoops. Oh, well. Well, you know.
Whoopsie.
I totally love Frost Mage, by the way. I've always been a Frost Mage person, and when they made Fire Mage an Arcane better, I stopped playing the Mage class because I just always love Frost.
And considering that frost boss, that elite boss that I had to deal with today, oh my god, yeah, frost is nasty shit.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, like, I still play my mage every so often, but you know, I always play in frost. So, hooray for you, frost mages out there! More power to us.
Go frosties. What else you got?
Go frosty or stay home. Emerald Dream Xavius wasn't tuned how they'd like it. So they were expecting 80 to 100 tries to take him down. Exorcist took him down in 12 hours.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, Cenarius was technically harder than Xavius was. Whoops. Oh, well, better luck in the next one, Trial of Valor, so.
And it's not like some of the bosses aren't difficult. Like,
yeah.
The fucking Spider/... Darkwing. Fuck, God. I remember the first time I was joining you guys doing that race.
I feel the bosses with this beginning, Emerald Dream, have not been as bad as past bosses that we've experienced.
See, and I don't know that,
with all of our other stuff, this has been a lot easier than what we expect. But we're not on heroic yet.
No.
So, which is sad for us because we're usually on heroic by now. Mm-hmm. So. at the same time, it's like, well, they're not as hard, but this at this point in time, with the general transition of us being so close to the next one,
yeah.
we should be further than where we're at.
Right. I mean, we got Ursoc down hardcore.
Yeah. We got the first four bosses down, like, literally this first day that we just do our thing in 2 hours. So,
yeah, I noticed that. The last time you guys just went boom, boom,
so,
boom.
So, I mean, we had a whole 40 minutes on Cenarius, and then we didn't get the raid the second night.
Yeah.
But... we will be bringing it back this coming week.
So they're possibly going to tweak Xavius and make... Yeah.
No, they're going to tweak him now.
Good.
I mean, it's already done. He's down.
Okay.
So they just weren't happy with how it was tweaked. So they're not going to make it.
Okay.
The world first kill is already done. So
cool.
there's no reason for them to tweak it.
All right.
So hidden world appearances. Fury Warrior appearance being on world boss is concerning. Apparently, because it's a world boss,
mm-hmm.
so you got to be able to down the world boss. But
they're not.
I mean, at this point, they're not concerned so much about it. But it is. I mean, it's concerning, but it's not like we're going to change anything yet.
Yeah.
So Hunter being on Vendor was just to give a non-gun option. So for those hunters out there, that's why they threw it on the Vendor,
because
they wanted to just give it an easy for the non-gun option for people.
Because mm-hmm.
you know, some people.
Have an issue with guns?
Have issues with the noise of guns. So, and I remember those mods out there that you'd get so you could change the noise your gun made.
I hate it.
So, anyways. Looking into Emerald Dream raid trinkets that aren't as powerful as they should be. So they feel some of the trinkets are more powerful, or powerful and good, but some of them are just not living up to where they expected them to be for as beneficial as they should be for their item level stuff. So... that was pretty much all I had.
Can I share a little snippet when you're done?
Sure.
I belong to this group on Facebook called World of Warcraft Girls.
Girls!
It's pretty much a bunch of women that play World of Warcraft, and we talk about the same kind of stuff you boys do when you talk World of Warcraft.
Wait, Jason, I gotta say this. What? Girls play Warcraft?
But, especially with the death of that one guy who was a big Alliance guy... Or the guy who retired, not dead.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who retired.
Yeah.
Someone posted something in the group, and I just felt like I wanted to share it, because I bet a lot of people feel this way and just haven't said it.
Okay.
Anyone else feel like Blizzard writers have trashed the Alliance?
Hmm.
Varian's gone. Tyrion's gone.
Yeah.
Skyfire gone. Greymane's an ass. Don't care about Alliance or the Legion, just revenge for the king whom he was supposed to be protecting, and really it's revenge for Gilneas and his hate of Sylvanas.
Yeah.
Or Sylvanas, I'm sorry if I'm butchering
Sylvanas,
these names. Admiral Rogers has always been a bragging ass, and she don't have one. Khadgar is the only good man left that actually is trying to do anything. Our so-called King Anduin everyone sees as a joke and no one wants to follow him. Maybe this all seems unimportant to some, but I read lore. An alliance has been wiped. Big time.
Right.
Actually, it would not be a huge surprise to me if they let Stormwind burn next. It's all we got left that's not overrun by Horde and Legion.
Well, it's already been burned once. Deathwing came through and made sure of that. Like,
I just thought that was kind of cool, and I wanted to share that.
That is interesting, yeah.
And that's coming from us females' perspective, so we're paying attention.
What? The girls are paying attention?
Yeah, because Chris Metzen was big on the Alliance stuff, so, like, I really liked Chris Metzen, but...
Now that Metzen's gone.
You know, and then we lost Ghostcrawler. I mean, Ghostcrawler was kind of fun to watch. I mean, he can be kind of...
Yeah.
Anyways... But he's still nice. He still posts about WoW.
Yeah.
Like, he plays WoW, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. You put all that work into it. Of course you're going
to
play your own
game. Yeah, I mean, he wants to still see how things turn out
for it. So what else we got for blue posts and whatnot?
That's it.
That's it?
That's all I got.
Well, I guess we got some Falcons or Pergies or...
Pergadins?
Pergarians?
Pergarians.
I'm having a food baby.
Oh, uh-oh. This momentary break in the podcast brought to you by Fried Okra.
No, too much food. Aww. Okay. Yeah, for reason I didn't touch the mushrooms.
Quite peculiar.
Who's gone to movies lately?
I don't know. What is a movie?
I have not.
I don't know.
And my friend Jasmine went on a date.
Aww.
We went up to see a nighttime movie, and we had breakfast and a movie.
All right.
Nothing says a movie quite like breakfast at IHOP first.
Mm.
Especially at 6 o'clock at night. Anyways.
Hey, breakfast is good any time of the day.
Anyways. Right. It came out September 30th, but I saw it the first Tuesday of October.
Which would have been the second.
And, I've not read the book. My mother owns the book, has loaned it to me. It is in this house. I have yet to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Said I was going to before it came out, and it never happened. Sorry, Mom. I went and watched Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Directed by Tim Burton, and it's based upon the novel written by Ransom Riggs.
Hey, you know what? I just realized something. It's a Tim Burton movie without Helena Bonham Carter.
Or Johnny Depp.
This break in the podcast brought to you by me having a heart attack. Go ahead. Clear.
But there is somebody in there that's in his movies, or at least is starting to be in his movies, and that's Eva Green.
I love Eva.
She played Angelique in Dark Shadows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So she was very good. You know, it's a story about this little kid. Well, when you start the movie, he's a littler kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's very close with his grandfather. And his grandfather always tells him these wild stories about fighting all these monsters and when he went to war and when he was at the school with all these special children that he became friends with and was telling stories of Miss Peregrine and her school and her home.
Smoking a pipe. A woman smoking, you know,
yeah, smoking a pipe.
Yep.
And all this, I mean, oh, when you're a kid, the story, I'm sure, are really, really cool. Especially when the grandpa has maps and books and pictures of all these people and these kids.
But it was all fictional, wasn't it?
Well, he thought so. Because after a certain point, when he started getting older, his dad, played by Peter O'Dowd,
mm-hmm.
Love that man, tells him he's getting old. It's all stories. It's not real. He was a salesman. He was hardly ever home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a bad father. And he can't make up for it by, you know, being close with you.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of, Jake was like, well, if that's the case, then yeah, his stories. Or he had to go tell his grandfather, you can't tell me these stories anymore. They're not real. I need to grow up. And then one night, you know, he starts getting, the grandfather's starting to get old and needs to be looked after every once in a while. And he's supposed to go look after his grandfather and... Looks like there was a battle in the house.
Yep.
So he finds him, and his eyes are like, looked like they were burnt out or something, and he's laying there dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees things moving around in the shadows. And
creepy shit, Jason.
And this was after he saw some weird guy with wide eyes standing in the middle of the road who was Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, hell yeah.
Samuel. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Samuel L. Jackson, spoilers, plays the bad guy.
Yep.
What?
Spoiler alert.
He's barren.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, there is spoiler alert all over this, so just fast forward like 5 minutes.
Spoiler alert, Samuel L. Jackson does not use the word motherfucker in the entire movie.
What?
Sorry. It's a kid's movie.
Oh, I guess.
Young adults movie.
And supposedly this home for peculiar children is in Wales, on this little island in Wales.
Mm-hmm.
Leave the dog alone. Jeez. Anyways, so the boy is seeing this therapist who says, well, maybe if you find this home and prove to him that the stories aren't true or that it's just a regular home and it's not there anymore, then maybe he can cope with the death of his grandfather and move on.
Mm.
And,
hijinks ensue.
Yeah, they get to Wales and hijinks ensue. Let me tell you what, it's crazy. He goes back in time, and he meets all these peculiar children, and Miss Peregrine, who smokes a pipe and mm-hmm. can turn into a bird.
Yep.
And it's just, it involves time loops. That part can get a little confusing if you're not into time travel very much.
Or time warps.
Or time warps, yes.
I totally bet you.
It's just a hop to the left.
Whole thing with time...
In the range of the cinematography of the movie... Yes, it is a kid's movie, but I would make sure that your kids can handle slightly creepy images, because mm-hmm. some of the monsters are kind of creepy looking.
Oh, dear.
Heck, some of the allies are kind of creepy looking.
The kids?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, the kids with the bags over their head.
Oh, no, yeah, not even that one, the one with the...
And they're played by actual twins, by the way.
Sweet. No, the one with the head, his body's made out of bees.
That was cool. Yeah, but the bees are in his body.
It's still creepy, though.
Or the little girl that was embarrassed to eat in front of him because she has to feed herself from the back of her head.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very cute movie. All the kids have little special powers and, you know...
Peculiarities.
They're all they got all peculiarities. Jake's supposedly normal. You'll have to watch the movie and find out what happens to him and why he went back there after his grandfather was there. So I actually really enjoyed the movie,
mm-hmm.
and I will own it when it comes out on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
So it is definitely theater worthy.
So you think it's theater worthy. I went and saw it by myself a couple of, you know, like earlier in this week. I didn't care for the after theater experience where I almost had a, you know, accident both going front and back. Anywho.
Anyway.
The movie was good. And not reading the book as well. I would go more DVD worthy, personally. But I thought it was still a very entertaining movie. I enjoyed it. I did like the acting. The acting was very well done. Because, I mean, even with kids, you know how they always say, you know, worst people to work with are kids and animals. I thought the kids were really good. All the kids were, especially the Enoch, he was kind of creepy.
See, it seems to me a lot of times with the kids being in movies and television shows, it seems like the British kids do a much better job. I hate to say it, but they do a much better job than most American children actors.
No, probably because they're actually disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But otherwise, yeah. So between April and I, it'd be like, if you're a
hardcore Tim Burton fan and or you've read the book, theater I would worthy. Go
yeah.
see it.
Yeah.
It's definitely theater
That's exactly
worthy.
What I was going
to
say.
But for someone who's trying to dip their toe into the world of Tim Burton, I would say... rent it, buy it, buy a collection of his stuff, or borrow a collection, and then go from there.
Yeah, exactly. DVD worthy if you're not a huge fan of the Burton. If you are, theater worthy. All right. On that note, Jason, you got some science-y stuff.
I do? Oh, yeah, I do. Oh,
shit.
Proud cyborg athletes compete in the world's first cybathon.
What?
Yes. So I thought it was funny. Zurich, Switzerland, the world's first, has held the world's first Olympics involving cyborgs.
Oh my god. You're fucking kidding me.
Well,
no, you're not fucking kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. Obviously, I'm not kidding you. So. I think it's kind of cool. This will actually probably help with, like, paraplegic people and, like, people who have limb issues and all that because, you know.
I am upgrade.
We'll have the $1 billion man. Don't worry about that.
I'm thinking more Cybermen.
Yeah.
Oh, Cybermen.
Hey, we're already getting closer to Cybermen with the new fucking iPhone 7 and those, you know, earbuds that are completely Bluetooth wireless.
I thought they were toothbrushes that you put in your ears with the. Oh, my bad.
You know what? Seriously, somebody needs to take those earbuds and seriously make a version where it's connected and it looks like the Cybermen.
It goes up and around.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh yeah, I'd buy it.
Yes, there you go.
I wouldn't.
Anybody with some creativity or clout or anything like that, there you go. You need to make
who really loves Doctor Who
and really loves Doctor Who. You got to make some kind of like little wraps to be able to put them in your ear and a little adjustable rod to be able to. Oh fuck! We just came up with a great idea right there.
There you go, Cybermen earbuds.
Cybermen earbuds.
Bluetooth.
But Cyber Olympics.
Yeah, Cyber Olympics.
Cyborg Olympics.
Cyborg Olympics.
We won't call them the Cyber Olympics.
The Cyber Olympics.
That would be you testing out your hacking skills.
Yeah. Yeah, so amputees navigated race courses using powered prosthetic legs and arms. Paraplegics raced in robotic exoskeletons.
That's kind of cool.
I really think it's awesome. So, like, you know what? This is only going to help advance our technology for those who need this. Kind of, like, you know, war veterans or just people who were born this way.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I thought that was kind of cool. So I wanted to highlight it.
I do like that. That is pretty cool.
Here's something obvious. Smartphones are contaminating family life, studies suggest.
Oh, fuck!
I guess I could probably just leave it at that, because we all honestly probably know this in my mind. I mean, like, you see the families, but everybody's just on their phones, and so, cool. Anyway, so yeah,
destroying family.
So life. Lead author Dr. Jenny Radesky, assistant professor of development behavior pediatrics at the University of Michigan Medical School.
Woo! I've been there.
So have I.
Yeah, her team has been doing studies with or interviews with 35 parents and caregivers of young children in the Boston area. Apparently,
in Boston.
Yeah. So don't figure that out.
Hey.
But hey, yeah, no, I mean they pretty much concluded that, yeah. So cell phones kind of are killing our family lives.
Duh.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like every single TV show helps portray that too. So
exactly.
Like totally.
What else you got, buddy?
Hackers hit 6,000 sites on an active 18-month carding spree.
What?
So there's this e-commerce. Back in the day when I was doing development for web development stuff, it was OS Commerce was our big back-end
shadow hacking.
Yeah, no. Kind of, actually. What they were doing is they're using exploits in the back-end systems
right.
to install these modules that pretty much sit on top of the existing system. You might not even notice they're there,
right.
Except that if you go look in the back, there might be an extra, I don't know, PayPal module or something installed.
Mm-hmm.
Like PayPal Plus. I know, something it sounds like it should be there, but probably isn't supposed
exactly.
to be there.
Something obvious, something in plain sight that's not right.
Yeah. Well, they've taken this to a whole new expanse. They're targeting the Magento carts now, which is like the kind of like I feel is the predecessor to OS Commerce, although it has nothing to do with the company that made OS Commerce. OS Commerce became less supported. They stopped supporting it.
Right.
And so Magento still maintains support for it. Okay. So, but apparently there's this big exploit right now. So, let's see. Hackers have installed skimming scripts on more than 6,000 online stores. And actually, I know somebody who talked to me and said something about them actually having one of these card sites actually stolen from this information last week.
Damn.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. And are adding 85 sites each day in a wide-scale active operation that may have compromised hundreds of thousands of credit cards.
Oh, my
God. Oh, shit. So if you shop online and give out your credit card, use PayPal. I always say it. Always pay with PayPal when that is an option. Regardless, because you are going through a third party and your information is being stored on PayPal, and those are one-time transaction deals, whereas with a credit card, it can be hit over and over and over again. Now, you can get a reoccurring fee payment kind of thing with PayPal, but that payer is going straight to the PayPal payer as opposed to having it go to Russian hackers who can then use your card information. So, always pay with PayPal. I love PayPal. I mean, like Amazon Pay would be the same kind of deal. So anything where you don't give out your credit card to the company is a great idea.
Oh, actually, so, I've had a PayPal for ages, but yeah.
I use my PayPal everywhere.
Everywhere.
Imagine if that Apple iPay for a bunch of places would help too.
Yeah. Oh, plus, you don't have to worry about updating your credit card with these kind of companies because PayPal will keep that maintained for you because you just updated to PayPal.
True.
So long as PayPal doesn't become compromised, which they house how many credit cards?
Yeah.
So
if PayPal gets hacked,
everybody's fucked.
We're screwed.
Super fucked.
Yep.
So yeah, that's the moral of the story. Don't use your credit card on websites unless you have to. And if it's a Magento cart, like they say, powered by Magento at the very bottom, definitely don't use it right now, unless they specifically say they fixed the problem,
yeah,
because,
get the fuck out.
But it's an easy drop solution, so a lot of companies or sites use it.
Okay.
If you are curious, there is a vulnerable list of Magento e-commerce platforms out there running right now. If you're running a Magento website, just make sure you're updating, because most of these things, when they drop it, they just never update. There's like an update button in Magento, and you just have to click buttons.
Yeah,
or there might even be an automate. It may never got set up by a developer. Anyways, moral of the story, yeah.
PayPal.
So nobody wants to buy Twitter.
I heard that. Yeah, Twitter wanted to go up and be bought. And
I could have swore like somebody had put a bid on there, but apparently not. So yeah, there's been so many people who have said, yeah, maybe thinking about it. Now it seems like people are just saying, no, we don't want to even think about putting a bid on there, because like Disney, Google were thought to have put bids on it but didn't. Apple is likely probably not to. Verizon immediately dismissed speculation saying no. Facebook is also said to be uninterested. And they said something along the lines of, Salesforce, which couldn't buy LinkedIn, showed some interest in Twitter. But yeah, they've pretty much walked away from negotiations. I wonder if Twitter's asking for like way more than what all these companies think they're what they think it's worth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious like maybe Twitter thinks that they're worth more than what they are worth, because who doesn't want to be that?
Exactly.
And so I think all these tech companies are like, yeah, we don't really see how you can make money with that, you know, kind of deal.
Oh, yeah, I see the Salesforce joins companies walking away from Twitter purchase.
Yeah. So, and I think Salesforce's stock went up 6%, and I think Twitter went down 6% after that.
I believe that. So, and the funny thing is, I know of Salesforce because they're the back end that runs our intranet at work.
Okay, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, so poor Twitter.
Why are they selling Twitter?
Well,
they're trying to. I think they're trying to sell themselves off to someone else so that the Twitter people that have been in charge of Twitter make hand over fist money and kind of puts control of it in somebody else's hands.
It could also give more control to the investor as opposed to having be controlled by market share.
Right.
So, like, if Google buys it, then Google will have complete control over Twitter. If Google were to buy it, because they are privately, they're private, but they have enough of their own shares or however they set up their sales so they can completely control 100% of what they do in operations.
Right.
So, yes. Yay, Twitter. Poor Twitter.
Poor Twitter.
You know, I like Twitter, but...
Me too.
And honestly, I can kind of see why Facebook wouldn't, because Twitter is pretty much just the status updates of Facebook.
Well, they might get blocked. I mean, considering Twitter and Facebook are kind of close to the same... it's almost the same concept. It's like individuals versus business kind of tweeting.
But Facebook doesn't limit what you can say.
Besides that, please. They have businesses haven't been getting called out on antitrust since, like, the early 2000s, sadly.
I'm sorry, but to me it seems like... Because I've had my hand in both. I've played around on both. And frankly, Twitter is just Facebook for stupid people.
No, Twitter. Yes, I mean, Twitter is more for
hashtag this. I remember when hashtag was my little symbol for playing tic tac toe, and that's a pound sign on a phone. My life doesn't need to be hashtag this, hashtag that.
Well, Twitter is not your forte then, but I'm just saying that certain individuals, like people who want to keep up to date with certain companies will tweet what they're doing, and then you can instantly know what they want to do. And you could talk to actors, musicians, and instantly get
customer support.
No,
but you're not necessarily talking to the actors when you're talking to their Twitter page.
No, they don't have to respond, but they can respond.
Yeah.
So
they're not going to. They never do.
I've had Greg Grunberg.
I don't know who that is.
He was on Heroes.
And I'm just saying, they can have a page for people to like on Facebook where you can read what the companies are doing, too.
Yeah, but that's more like private. Well, I mean, you could post on
the
wall. Well,
I can kind of understand why nobody wants Twitter.
But
it's its own different little medium.
It's special. It's got its own special uses, and I think it's more for marketing.
Exactly.
So, last but not least, Germany tells Tesla not to advertise autopilot feature, fears drivers will become less attentive.
Oh, God.
Which is logical. I mean, if you think that your car can drive for you, what are you going to do? I'm going to play on my phone. Because what would you do? Like, oh, I'm just going to let my car drive. I'm still going to pretend like I'm driving. No.
Not at all.
I mean, the whole point of that feature is so that my car drives for me so I can do other shit so I don't have to worry about it. Preferably, I'd like to be in the backseat of my car, surrounded by airbags and a bubble.
Exactly.
So when my car does crash into things, I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just thought that was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's all I got for that.
I got one...
Oh, that's right. You just said...
I got one little science-y thing. I'm going to just quickly glaze over this real fast. But apparently, there is a NASA scientist that has come up with a conceptual spacecraft that should theoretically, if it pans out, would take you from here to Alpha Centauri in 2 weeks.
Well, that's basically... Is it going back to what they had previously announced? What's the technology they're calling this?
It's a modified version.
Is it a hyperbola? It's something like hyperbola transportation thing. And what they do is they warp the time reality field. Like they generate so much mass. They force the gravitate, like how the plane of existence works, and like it bends it down so much forward that it pulls that space closer to you.
I think that's part of it. It's conceptual superluminal spacecraft designed by NASA scientist Harold G. White, released in 2013. Seeing a video passing around. Currently running the White Jude Warp Field Interferometer Experiment to make a proof of concept for Alcubierre style warp travel, if possible. So,
okay. I'll have to look into it because I was always interested because I always hoped that space travel would happen because that's what I would love to see. Okay. Not that I don't love No Man's Sky, but I would love to play No Man's Sky for reals.
Exactly.
Anyways, seriously. Not that I would actually be the one doing this because by the time, unless we could live forever, it's outside of my. But it's a great idea.
But yeah, basically, it's taking Einstein's field of general relativity. It's basically taking space-time, taking space and kind of almost twisting it around
Problem with the one that I was reading with is the amount of energy that was required is pretty much the equivalent of, I think it was part of the sun. Like, it was so high. But another scientist figured out a way that they could warp the pattern so it's kind of bent forward and the angle of which it needs, it greatly reduces the amount of energy that you would need to be able to travel in that little bubble. But they still didn't say how, because of the warping of itself, speaking to the front of the ship and speaking to the back of the ship could take forever and time.
Yeah.
So unless we can build quantum mechanics for which they can communicate to one another, like where they can instantaneously talk, there would still be issues with the front talking to the back of the ship.
Yeah, so yeah, it's called the IXS Enterprise. The last little blurb I see on here says the energy required to power the warp drive, according to White, is approximately the negative mass energy equivalent of Voyager 1, which has a mass of approximately 700 kilograms. So,
The ship looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it's like two rings. Yeah, it looks interesting. I mean,
This isn't the same concept as what I was looking at.
Okay, so
it was one ring because they required the one ring. I mean, unless they're doing the same thing in those two rings.
Yes,
one ring to rule them all.
But two rings
and into space darkness.
In the space
final frontier.
But yeah,
blind them.
I mean, it is a pretty sweet looking ship. So. Yeah, I mean, I have hope for this, and I would love to see that. That's what it looks like, April. It's just like, it quite literally looks like a dumbbell. So
quite literally looks like something you'd see on Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I said space.
I know. I'd be very excited to see that.
So we just need to put some guns on there. We're totally good.
Shush.
Let's go explore.
Explore first, then we fight it. Come on, remember, the original NX-01 Enterprise didn't really have much in the way of our weaponry.
That's right.
Yep. All right, what's next on the agenda?
Let's see. We got some April's. Got some geeky stuff going on with Halloween.
What are you
going
to be for Halloween?
Well, considering the time crunch and the fact that I really haven't thought of anything, I'm probably going to throw together my Dresden cosplay. I just got to really get one good piece of something or other right here from my chest.
And what are you going to be for Halloween?
I'm going to be a wizard.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to be a worgen. Worgen. He needs to be a worgen next year for Halloween.
That would take a lot of work just to get the fur.
All you have to do is just not shave for a whole year.
Oh, okay. We'll work on that.
The hell you will.
Get those mutton chops going on.
April, what are you doing for Halloween this year?
Can't decide.
Well, do you have a list? Maybe you can come
I do. I just have a list right here.
Okay, nice. Really? Okay, people, really, this isn't scripted, but we just kind of know each other enough where, yeah, we're just nuts. So what you got, April?
Almonds.
This week is April's top 5 geeky Halloween costume ideas.
Oh, snap.
These are, to me, what I consider to be geeky.
Okay.
And what I think would be me geeking out on Halloween. Granted, there probably won't be any of them happening this year, especially number 5. But, 4 already happened this year. We're good.
Okay.
So number 5. A weeping angel.
Ooh.
I really don't think it would be very hard to find gray material to make just a makeshift dress to cover, a toga-type dress or something.
Saw...
Get some wings spray painted gray, gray face paint, gray hairspray or wig.
Done.
Yeah, a couple years ago, I looked into that, and there was a YouTube video on it. So, or at least a website that had talked about the materials that you need, and then there was a video on the website.
Sweet.
And I'm sure you could get long fangs.
Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah. And the long nails.
Oh, yeah, that's easy.
Yep.
So, that's an idea.
Weeping angel, nice, I like that.
Number four would be Captain Jack Sparrow or some other form of pirate.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, already did that for Talk Like a Pirate Day.
That's outrageous.
Number three, oddly enough, would be doable mainly because of my Ren garb.
Okay.
And the other purchase that I've acquired.
When?
I could go as a hobbit.
A hobbit?
I have hobbit feet.
Hobbit feet. Oh, boy.
So they go right on your shoes.
Okay.
I could just put sandals on and have to be hobbit feet, get me some elf ears, and wear my Ren garb, and I'm good to go. No makeup required.
And you're already the appropriate size.
Yeah.
You know what? One for you, and one for you.
This is brought to you by people that are taller than 5'2".
5 foot.
Close enough. I'm just saying this is brought to you by people taller than 5'2".
I'm 5 foot, so fuck you.
Yeah, I love you too, April.
Number two would be doable with help from my neighbor across the street because she does hair. She said she'd do my hair for me if I ever wanted to do it.
Okay.
Winifred Sanderson.
Oh, I'm surprised you have never done that before.
I want two people to do it with me.
Okay.
I need a Sarah and, Mary. I need a Sarah and a Mary.
So basically what you just need to do is con Eldiana to dye her hair blonde and she can be the Sarah Jessica Parker character and... Well, who are you going to find to play Kathy and Jimmy's character?
I don't know. And number one is quite simple. Mainly because you can throw anything together and it would work. And you could be any Harry Potter character.
Yeah. All you need is a good black cloak or black robe.
All you need is a black cloak, gray sweater and skirt if you're a girl,
mm-hmm.
dress pants and like a private school outfit if you're a boy.
Yep.
You can buy the ties online. I have a Ravenclaw tie for when I dress up as Moaning Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle.
Oh, Harry. You should die down there. You're welcome to share my toilet.
Oh. And wands are easy piece to find nowadays. Both.
You can make one.
Hell yeah, exactly.
But what I was seeing on the internet, because I was kind of researching this a little bit, because I wanted to see what was out there compared to my thoughts on
what else? What else did you find, April?
I could honestly see...
Sluts!
If I were to go to an adult Halloween party that was going on in town,
mm-hmm.
I have an idea of what I would probably see.
Okay.
Probably about 50,000 Deadpools.
Considering
it came out this time, it's still going to be
Game of Thrones characters.
Oh yeah, easily.
Especially Jon Snow.
Oh hell, you know what I want to see? I would love to see somebody post on like the Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or something like that. Them going to a Halloween party, of course, with you know the some kind of appropriate covering as Cersei in her doing her little
shame.
It's like just walk in and you look naked. Like what?
How many Pokemon characters are we going to see? Possibly even Ash.
I
saw one online. Sadly enough, for not being a Pokemon fan, I knew exactly who it was.
Yeah, you got a lot of people. I know that I've seen a lot of people dressing like freaking trainers because of Pokemon Go.
Mario Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Mario and Luigi.
And what do you think the top couple's costumes are going to be this year?
I know.
Oh.
What do you think, Jason?
It's going to be Joker and Harley Quinn.
And, of course, a lot of guys are going to be Joker. A lot of girls are going to be Harley Quinn because what? It's a slutty outfit.
Hey, you know what?
It can be a slutty outfit.
I want to see...
Old school.
If you're going Batman animated series, that's classy.
My friend Sarah had a really nice... Harley Quinn costume. It was the Jester costume with mallet.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
She is phenomenal in that costume.
I would love
is a Halloween costume.
I would love to see that. I would love to see a picture of that.
No problem. I can do that. But I'm sorry, but Halloween is not an excuse to turn a pumpkin. Okay, I'm doing a
Halloween. Your mother.
So you don't need to be a slutty pumpkin.
Yep.
You don't need to be a slutty nurse.
Nope.
You don't need to be a slutty cop, slutty devil, slutty kitty cat. It's about being creative and letting your juices flow. I'm sorry, but if you're looking like you're a slutty clown, my thoughts are you're just slutty.
No, they're trying to get other juices to flow, but not the intelligent
Again,
ones.
They're just slutty.
Exactly. And they even mentioned that Mean Girl, in the movie Mean Girls. It's like, you know, Halloween, the one day of the year that you can go out looking like a slut and nobody cares.
Exactly.
But you know what? People still
care.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
I mean, I don't have any, but how do you think the people that have kids out and about for Halloween festivities feel? Seeing you with half your boobs hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I want. You know what I want to see this year? I want to see somebody do the animated series Harley and Joker, or I want to see a gender swapped Harley and Joker.
I like the steampunk Harley and Joker we saw at Comic-Con.
I remember that now. I remember that steampunk.
They were neat. We talked to them for a few minutes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like, Halloween is good and fun if you be inventive and fun, but yeah, don't be slutty.
I told Jason we could get him a fez and a bow tie and he could go as the Matt Smith doctor. He already has the sonic screwdriver.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't against it.
I mean, come on, if we can joke around about being Fat Gambit and Midlife Crisis Rogue... Why can't you go as a doctor?
Yeah, I'm going to be slightly overweight Harry Dresden, so whatever.
Who cares?
Exactly. That's the thing about...
I can go as the girl who waited.
Yes. Aww. And that's the thing. You know, that's what I like about cosplay. Do it because you have a passion for the character. Don't do it and try to make some kind of, unreasonable thing to... You know, you don't have to lose 80 pounds to look like Harlequin. Be who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And screw what everyone else says.
Well, except for if I say you're too slutty. Don't be slutty.
Oh, yeah, don't be slutty.
Please don't be slutty.
Yeah, please don't be slutty, though.
Be cool, be creative, be cosplayers. Don't be slutty.
Yeah, be cosplayers, be cool, but don't be sluts.
So, yay.
No sluts, no hoes.
There's April's top five with a little rant added in the mix.
Woo! All right, next up.
So, looks like we got some group conversation stuff going on here, guys. Let's see. Favorite podcasts we listen to?
Yeah, buddy, buddy.
Yeah, okay, so, like, my favorite podcast, just to name a few, I'm big into security. I love reading anything about security. Steve Gibson, Security Now. If you are wanting to keep in up to date and in touch with current security issues and just how to like circumvent them, or just like crazy cool things like in the world of computing, I really highly recommend Steve Gibson Security Now podcast. I've been listening pretty much since they started. Like, I've been on the, like, I did take about, like, a few months break when I had a phone issue kind of thing, but, you know, when
Which
I...
Which phone issue?
I don't think I was with you when I had that phone issue, because he's been around for 11 years, like, at least, with Security Now. But, it's when I was transitioning, and I ended up having to go back to a kind of a more of a dumb phone. So I had to use my, I think I had a Zune back then. For my, like, few, I think 6 months of Zuning. Ugh.
Yep, that wasn't my time.
No, it was not. And those were bad times with that Zune. Ugh.
Have you not seen the flip phone? I was Zune texting wasn't you on when we met.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that the Zune was bad, but yeah. So,
Jason, I will. Yep. The Zune was bad.
I don't know what it is. What does that tell you?
I'm pretty sure Chris could probably agree with me if he's listened to any of these. The Star Talk podcast with Neil deGrasse Tyson, although it's been less Neil deGrasse Tyson. So
that's kind of sad.
Yeah, like I think he said that he specifically wasn't like. Like, I don't think he likes and enjoys doing them, but he does pop on every occasionally. So that's cool. Their comedian, what is their comedian's name? I forgot what his name is. Oh my gosh, I'm so bad. Chuck Nice. He was the voice. Oh, what did he do? He did the voice for what was it? Bob's Burgers.
Okay.
Wait, no. I'm sorry, I'm missing out on. He has done his voice for them. Best week ever. Come on, somebody help me. Chuck Nice. Either way, he does voice stuff, and it's pretty fun. It's kind of humorous. So, Star Talk, if you want to keep up with the star science, and they were talking about, their current, missions. They have, important NASA kind of people on there, or people who actually work with NASA.
Okay.
They talk on these things. So,
I know who Chuck Nice is now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just can't. I know he's been cited in. He does voiceovers for certain things. Not voiceovers, but like voices for certain things.
Just a couple of things, but he's ended up in a couple of episodes of World's
dumbest on, you know, like TLC or whatever those.
Oh, yeah. They've shown it in the break room before.
Mm-hmm.
It is so stupid.
Well, maybe it wasn't Bob's Burgers. I don't know what he does. He's just done a bunch of voices. Maybe yeah. He just was mimic him. He sounds almost like it, anyways.
Okay.
So, wait, don't tell me. If you are familiar with listening to NPR,
yeah.
I love it. I've been listening to it forever.
Yeah.
I love it. It is one of the few things that, well, not a few things, but it's one of my favorite episodes that will just pick me up every week. I listen to
yeah.
And I can guarantee, even if I've already heard it on the weekend because I was out in my car driving for
mm-hmm.
part of it, it's still fun to listen to again because
oh, yeah.
they just always have something fun to talk about.
And, I mean, it's always topical. I mean, you have to listen to pretty
yeah, oh, yeah. It's relevant information.
Relevant news.
And it's always funny. Anytime that we randomly have it on the car, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I want to one time actually go to Chicago on a Thursday when they record it and actually be there in the audience. That would be fucking awesome.
Yes. Hmm.
I'm not sure if you guys have heard of it. Freakonomics?
I've heard of Freakonomics.
Oh my gosh. If you want to listen to just podcasts that are just well done, very thorough, and talk about certain things, like, he is very specific. Like, this is your brain on podcasts, and he was just talking about podcasting in general and what you should do to podcast.
Okay.
He also talked about how to win a Nobel Prize. And it was just, you know, like certain ideas on like what you need to do, that kind of stuff.
How to win a Nobel Prize?
He also talked about why are we still using cash, and like he brought in a lead guy and he was talking about why do we even use cash. And you know, for us being in the US, they were talking about how I forgot what country it was, but one country is pretty much on their way to not using cash anymore. It's all going to be digital currency.
See, you know what I think of not using cash, and all I can think of is those, you know, the movie Demolition Man.
Probably
you get that
France.
Hmm?
Probably France.
Probably.
Isn't it that the country that has the bank that they change your security code on your card every so often?
Oh, yeah, we were...
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah, where they're changing it every hour.
The CVS code,
yeah. But, yeah, seriously, I think about that, and I think about, you know, those chips. The movie Demolition Man and the little chip you have in your hand tells you where you are, and it's all... That's all how everything is transacted is by that little
just numbers in a machine somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. You know what?
But get this. Their selling point was just imagine how few robberies would occur if there's no actual physical cash to rob.
True.
Like literally, like you can't go into any place. You couldn't even go into the bank and ask for cash.
Yeah.
They don't have cash. How are you going to rob them? I need you to type in my code and here's a secret account that I Swiss account that I need you to transfer money to, otherwise I'm going to shoot all these hostages.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, it probably will make cybercrime.
Our policy is not to give this up.
Yeah, cybercrime
will rise.
Oh, cybercrime is already going to rise, regardless.
Yeah.
That is the next
big
hurdle we're going to have to deal with.
Because they're going to try to find a way. If you remember the movie with Justin Timberlake where...
Yeah, In Time.
In Time, where their currency was their lifespan.
Yeah, paid in lifespan. But, I mean, the thing is in terms of, like, that kind of stuff, banks are kind of secure. It's the background networks that could be compromised. The communications between, say, Walmart and there, and it's the machines themselves that take those cards
mm-hmm.
that will be targeted. And that's where we've been finding vulnerabilities. Target had an issue with that, where those hackers got in and just installed their own software to listen in on communications with those transaction
mm-hmm.
devices at the registers.
Oh, the Home Depot, when Home Depot.
Yeah, and Home Depot had an issue. The thing is, I mean, third party, they're just looking at those transactions because if they can get the routing numbers and all
there's
that kind
so
of
many,
stuff.
There's so many moving parts when it comes to digital transactions right now. Once those can be sorted out, then that might make things more secure.
These kind of things will get even worse though once hackers get smart enough to target hardware level kind of stuff where
mm-hmm.
they can actually compromise the firmware devices.
Yeah.
So you won't even know that it's hacked. It'll just start silently like sending off transactions occasionally.
Oh damn.
Siphoning off money. Ugh. Criminals.
Yeah.
Anyways, so annoying.
So yeah, that was Freakonomics.
So Freakonomics, TED Radio Hour.
Mm-hmm.
Had TED Talks. Have you guys listened to NPR's TED Talks?
I've seen some TED Talks.
There's been some really good TED Talks. And I would just like to suggest TED Talks. Like,
okay.
If it's kind of like the same concept as Freakonomics, but it's more like human kind of thing as opposed to
yeah.
Freakonomics being more like economics kind of like
yeah.
things. TED Talks more like just generalized stuff. Yeah. Like TED Talks, that's kind of getting to the top of my list. I do listen. You guys have never heard of this, I'm sure of it. Kevin's Oblast Radio. Him and a bunch of other, like, Kevin J. Beard, and, he has, Brian Beard, and, I forget all their names. It's so horrible. But anyways, him and his, like, friends, like, get on this pod, and family, get on this, and then sometimes they'll bring in extra people that they just find, you know, like, from Ukraine or something, like, who also listen to their podcast. And, you know, it's kind of fun to listen to them. They do curse a lot, so if you don't like cursing, don't listen to them. But they did the Wasteland. They're out of Ohio, actually. So I thought that was interesting. I'm just giving them a shout-out, actually. That's what I'm doing. So, hey, thanks, guys. Keep it going. You'll probably never, ever hear this podcast, but maybe I'll put it in the I'll put it in the show notes. Maybe it'll get linked somewhere and you'll find it.
You can always hashtag it.
Yeah, hashtag it.
Yeah, funny.
I also have the Geek Show podcast. That's at the very bottom of my list of things I listen to. Wiretap, that's no longer in existence. Okay. I'm very sad that they moved. He ended his stuff, but he's moved on. The Nerdist is right after that, though. So if anybody listens to The Nerdist, he almost always has like special guests on there. Sarah Jessica Parker, Gail Ann Hurd, Norm MacDonald, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the fourth time, like, you know.
Who is this?
The Nerdist.
Nerdist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be Chris
Hardwick.
Hardwick, thank you.
Yeah, Chris Hardwick. And then Jonah Ray and Matt Myra, I think is his name. I don't know. But they just have, like, you know, like, they have, like, a bunch of just, like, it's usually the same guys. But they just do interviews with these people. And, like, they're really, like, down to earth, you know. Mm-hmm. They just talk to them. And awesome. Like, and it's, like, usually super geeky stuff. Or, like, non-geeky stuff.
We are super geeky!
Super geeky! And that's kind of it. I do have Hack Talk, or Car Talk on my,
NPR Car
Talk. I have Hack 5 and then Car Talk on there. I don't know why I added it, but I have No Agenda on my list.
No Agenda?
Do you listen to No Agenda at all? It's, they're interesting. Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. Interesting folks. I don't know, sometimes I'm used, but they don't always follow my political views, but okay. I still just like listening to them because they'll make fun of individuals even if they aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. And I have a bunch of Leo Laporte stuff, mm-hmm. So I don't know if you listen to Leo Laporte, but he used to be on a bunch of old, he's on Triangulation. I think they do like an actual radio cat, like they actually transmit over the radio airwaves.
Okay.
For his Triangulation stuff, but yeah, Leo Laporte. Oh, Leo Laporte's also part of Security Now. So he's a co-host with Steve Gibson. So.
Gotcha.
But yeah, those are my favorite podcasts.
Okay.
Just throwing them out there.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, April, you're not going to have much downtime. Well, to be completely honest, yeah, I used to listen to podcasts pretty consistently and pretty often when I had my old iPod Touch back in the day, because you know what? Back then, my smartphone was dumb at the moment, and yeah, I had the second device. So, that yeah, that's when I really got into Wait, Don't Tell Me. So, yeah, I've definitely listened to that a lot. Anything else? I've not really been listening to any podcasts lately, to be completely honest.
Oh.
So, I mean, I don't really listen to much of any. Mostly, if I'm listening to something in the car, it's either the normal radio station. I mean, considering my before being here, then before, you know, all that, it's just like my time was just kind of, I wasted it just always rewatching stuff on Netflix or, you know, stuff like that when I've had to sit around and just, you know, I haven't really listened to anything in a while, but I will be soon again, considering I have longer drives to work, and, you know, as long as I get off my kick of listening to audiobooks all the time, even especially the ones that I've listened to at least 5 times already, you know, I'll pick up one, so I'll listen to my Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I definitely suggest Freakonomics and TED Talks.
I've already pegged both of those on the Stitcher. Well, that, and, you know, before, you know, once I got my new smartphone, back in the day, it's like, back then there really wasn't a good, at that point that I had seen, no real good podcast app. But now that Stitcher's around.
Yeah, Stitcher, I would love to plug Stitcher right now, because I've been listening and using Stitcher from like the very first day they launched. Okay. Like, I have always loved Stitcher. They had a few hiccups. I've had a few issues with like podcast not downloading completely, and like, and it's pretty much a data issue with the file structures and how it's going on and downloading. So it's more of my network issue. But Stitcher's pretty much always been my go-to.
And that's what I got downloaded.
When I had the iPhone, I kind of was okay with switch Stitcher, but I kind of switched between using iTunes and Stitcher.
Right, and that's what it was. It was easy for me to use iTunes back in the day when, you know, and I did that there. So, well, yeah, nowadays it's definitely...
But I didn't always want to use my iTunes to keep up to date with stuff, so I relied on Stitcher.
Is that it?
Yeah, Ted Radio. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I'm using. I got Stitcher on here now, and, you know, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to look over. But yeah, Freakonomics is going to be on my list.
We're on Stitcher.
Was listening to our last week's while I was prepping for tonight.
Odds are you probably found us on Stitcher, unless you found one of our links on Facebook.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'll have to wait, don't tell me the TED Talks.
I added wait, don't tell me today. But I have a few that I like to listen to.
Okay, well, you got April. Since my list is kind of lame.
Well, when I had more free time, I would go visit my friends Larissa and James that live in Elkhart.
Mm-hmm.
And one day we were over there getting ready to have our, I believe it was British Isles Cooking Week for Dia's ethnic. Studies week, because she's homeschooled.
Right.
And they're like, have you ever heard of Welcome to Night Vale? Like, no.
I've heard of that, oddly enough.
I'm like, no, what is it? Oh my gosh, it's wonderful. I even like to follow the fan art on Pinterest and blah. I'm like, this must be good if Larissa's following the fan art on Pinterest and talking about these characters and on this podcast, like they're characters from a book that she's obsessed with. Because when Larissa likes something, she likes it all out. She gets obsessed, which is good. That's how you should be.
Obsession is good.
Yes. So they had a couple of them. I don't remember how we listened to them, but they had me listen to them, and I was hooked.
Good.
It's called Welcome to Night Vale.
Mm-hmm.
It's presented as a radio show for the fictional town of Night Vale.
Mm-hmm.
It reports on the strange events that occur in this town.
Okay.
It was created in 2012 by two guys, Joseph Fink and Jeffrey Cranor. It's been published by Night Vale Presents since March 15, 2015. And it's how it works is Cecil Gershwin Palmer, the host, the main character, and the narrator, who is voiced by Cecil Baldwin, while secondary characters are sometimes voiced by guest stars, like such as Carlos, who at one point was trapped in an alternate... it's been a while, but... And they were still able to communicate, and they were dating. I mean, they've had strange lights floating through town. They've had ghosts. I mean, it's just... It's all kinds of crazy things. Typically airs on the 1st and 15th of every month, and consists of, you know, like, news of the town, announcements for the town, like if there's town hall meetings, he announces, tonight's the town hall meet. I mean, it's like you're in this small town.
Okay.
It's a desert town, and it's supposedly located somewhere in the southwestern United States. In an interview with NPR, Joseph Fink said that he came up with this idea of a town in that desert where all conspiracy theories were real, and we would just go from there with that understood. It's really good. I enjoy it. It's just, it's kind of like you're reading the next set of events in a sci-fi tale.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really cute, and I love it. I mean, granted, it's going to take me forever to catch up because there's almost 100 episodes now, but I can do it. Another one I just started listening to is called Geek Show Podcast. They're out of Salt Lake City, Utah. You said what? They've been doing it for about 20 years?
Oh, I don't know how long they've been doing it.
You just know that it's been going on for about 20 years.
I don't know.
You looked it up earlier.
It's been going on forever, yeah.
1996, I think, is what I read in it.
So, yeah, 20 years.
Yeah.
I would say, I know you looked information up on it earlier.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much like what we do. Sit around and talk about geeky stuff.
Yeah.
Only they actually do panels at Salt Lake City Comic Con.
Yeah, they have some funding and they get stuff
done. They have sponsors, they have funding. I think they're on the radio, too.
Yeah.
They started on the radio.
But it's nice. It's nice to I mean, I agree with what you said. They can be opinionated, but I usually agree with their
mind.
Opinions.
Yeah, I don't
I
mind them.
I agree with their opinions.
It's just,
I like opinionated sometimes.
Yeah, it's at the bottom of my list of things I listen to. Them and, I forgot to mention, Smodcast, Kevin Smith stuff.
I added that today.
Batman, Fat Man on Batman, Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, and then, of course, their Smodcast stuff. They don't post to it very often, so don't expect, like, regular updates, that kind of stuff.
It gives me time to catch up.
Yeah, so...
And then the third one that I absolutely love already, and I just started listening to it, is the Acquisitions Incorporated.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. That is hilarious. I mean, even though you can't see what they're doing, you can, the way they're talking about it, you can kind of, in your mind, see what they're doing.
Acquisitions Incorporated being D&D,
yep.
Mm-hmm. If you aren't familiar with what Acquisitions Incorporated
is. I was getting to that.
Yeah.
I have it right here. Stores up locally sourced adventure from convenient franchise locations across Faerun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Their adventures began in 2007 with a podcast of three friends playing D&D and inexplicably progressed to live games on stage before thousands of audience members at PAX.
Yep, damn straight. Which we went and saw and reviewed several weeks ago, about a month or two ago.
And with me being as obsessed with D&D as I have become, I know it's going to be very entertaining. Because I guess that Chris Perkins has written everything that they've done.
Yeah, considering the fact that he's written most of the stuff for 5th edition at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm excited, yes.
Yeah.
So that is the podcast I love. I got a lot of history ones on there, a lot of Irish ones, like Irish news, Irish, you know, all kinds of Irish stuff. A lot of geeky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just added some more, like, board games and dice games and tabletop game ones today. I added the Kevin Smith ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ready to go. I got stuff to do on my lunches.
So, yeah, podcasts. Not just for 2006 anymore.
I'd also like to mention there are quite a few WoW podcasts out there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
so,
and a couple today.
Convert to Raid being my favorite. Mm-hmm. So if you want to listen to a podcast just specifically about World of Warcraft, Convert to Raid, call out there is pretty awesome.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Well, on that note, I believe we're just about wrapped for the night. So
yeah, we do need to mention, however, that we are on Facebook.
Yep.
And we are on Twitter. And we do have a website. We are Inglorious Geeks on all of the aforementioned.
Yep. Twitter.
Inglorious _ geek.
Yep.
Facebook, just look for Inglorious Geeks.
Inglorious Geeks.
Inglorious Geeks, and look for our logo.
Our website is www.ingloriousgeeks.com.
Well, if you find our website,
yep.
We're the only one with ingloriousgeeks.com. So
please feel free to listen, and please, 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 we need feedback. We want to know how we're doing.
And like us on Facebook.
Yes,
like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Me and Chris keep up with Twitter the most.
Yeah.
So on that note, we are Inglorious Geeks, so sit down.
And shut up.
And roll initiative.
Good night, everybody.
Woo!
Oh, yeah, and this week's podcast title is called Don't Cross the Streams, Barton. Just to let you know, we have been recording with two mics on for, like, the last three or four podcasts. So that's why we're talking right now about this, because we had to disable the mic on the laptop, because we've actually been recording with me louder than the other two, because it's been merging the streams.
Thus why you now hear us in clear, crisp, 5.1 Dolby sound.
Oh, Blue Yeti.
Why don't you listen to me eat my roast?
Munch, munch, munch.
Munch, munch, munch.
Anyways, good night, everybody.
Good night.